This is PFW in Progress.
Retiring, actually.
Retiring? What are you, a hockey player? You took an oath. No retiring from this.
PFW in Progress with Paul Perillo.
Well, that's Nori's favorite. Special Eat Hotel. Tell us where you want to stop.
Keep it coming.
Paul Perillo.
I don't know about you, but ever since we found this place, I catch myself fantasizing about this.
Me too. Sometimes during sex.
Paul Perillo.
I keep this up. How many clothing anonymous?
You should have called your sponsor before you bought that jacket.
Look at this guy. Members only? How long have you been wearing that?
Paul Perillo.
I caught a parasite over there. Actually, that's why I'm here. I've been dying for a Satriali's Veal Palm Hero.
Paul Perillo.
F*** him. I hope that parasite eats his ass.
Paul Perillo.
Funny? You want to smack in a mouth?
Why? I'm serious.
Then with your cousin, Philly Turner.
I told you he was a
Paul Perillo.
Artie. Oh, menu.
Paul Perillo.
You just f***ed Artie. I could recite that menu in my sleep.
Paul Perillo.
Sorry, everything's so f*** morbid. There's a man lying dead over there.
Paul Perillo.
Oh, my God. This eel is delicious.
Okay, Spanish mackerel now.
Like another sake, huh?
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
I thought maybe we drive up there.
Is that new?
Oh, the car. Yes. Yes, Porsche Cayenne. Like the pepper.
PFW in Progress.
You know what? You want to get something done, you got to do it yourself.
All right, welcome to the Paul Perillo Show.
Very, Very good.
Gary celebrating the return of The Sopranos. That was a great episode, by the way.
So you thought it was a great episode?
Masterpiece.
I'm giving it two more weeks.
All right.
If it doesn't go somewhere, I'm quitting.
All right, Patriots Football Weekly here.
I like the Patriots.
PFW in Progress.
I'm giving them two more weeks. Wednesday. If they don't stop making moves, I'm out.
Fred Kirsch, Annie Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, Gary in the booth. Back for another episode. We have a lot to talk about, but not much of it has to do with the Patriots.
No.
But, you know, we're going to get into all that. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And Patriots fans are lined up on the Tobin Bridge.
Should be.
They're ready to jump off.
Either that or they're spitting in Adam Vinatieri's face.
Well, Tom, you were ready too, but until we talked you off.
But when?
What? You started to get a little nervous. Until we told you that this is how it is every year.
Oh, no, I just wondered, you know.
That was Fred's not-so-subtle way of saying, there's nothing to worry about, everybody.
Shut the F up. No.
Wow.
Whoa.
I wasn't necessarily worried. I was just wondering why they didn't have any players in for interviews.
Oh, that's not true. They've had.
No, I know.
They had a couple in. They chose to sign out.
Right, but I forgot everything has to be secret.
They didn't want to play for minimum wage, and they chose to sign elsewhere.
So should we break the show up into, you know, give it some structure? The first 30 seconds, we'll go over Cummings and then the Goings.
Well, I was actually just thinking our podcast this week ought to be, you know, interesting with the roster moves. Well, delete the following players from your roster. We'll see you next week for next week's podcast.
Well, there's a chance that by Friday you might have a little news.
There's always a chance.
You hearing something?
No.
Okay.
You know, you never know. Although I hear Terrell Owens says he's going to wait it out. He's not going to sign right away with anyone.
Well, we also heard the Patriots.
Has had contact with the Patriots, though.
All right. First of all, let's
never know. Why not?
According to a report.
All right. Let's do this in order, and we'll get into the whole Terrell Owens and Keyshawn Johnson and all that stuff. But let's talk about the Patriots first. The goings. David Givens.
Gone.
Give me your thoughts on that.
Good no surprise.
Him.
I mean, it's kind of how we expected. Somebody gave him some money, and as he said, the opportunity to have a greater role
expanded
and maybe
role.
Be a number one.
Hold absolutely nothing against the Patriots in that regard.
He's got more rings than fingers.
Too much money.
I think he got a lot of money, and he's going to put up the same numbers in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And so, given that fact, was it a good value for Tennessee?
No. I don't think anybody around here.
So we should
too much money.
Yeah, too much money, I think, to pay him like a one.
Yeah.
It's not a one. You know, so, you know. I don't know.
Even if he's a one, I wouldn't give. I'm telling you right now, I would not give Deion Branch that same contract.
Are you going to have to if you want to keep him?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, is it?
You
is it
have
Brady
to keep
in
Givens,
right?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think Branch is a true one.
I don't think he is either.
Like the other ones that we're talking
about. And that's the thing. A Patriots one is not the same as Terrell Owens as a
right.
one, or Keyshawn John. Well, he doesn't know. Even he wasn't a
Randy
one.
Moss.
Randy
guy
Moss.
Torrey Holt.
I think if they had a guy who was Terrell Owens, he would be a Patriots one. Just
exactly.
Like he's a one no matter where he goes.
That's why I say.
He's open more.
Right.
That's the difference.
Terrell
Owens is open more than David Givens.
I'm not saying that Deion Branch won't get you know, more or at least what Givens got.
You just say, I personally don't
look at him as that value of a player. And if you have your value system that you set in place, it should be no different whether or not you lose the guy or you know, in other words, you just said if you don't want to lose him, you better pay him that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I either have a philosophy or I don't. And if I'm going to stick with my philosophy, then I'm going to just find someone to replace him.
But you can't lose all your receivers.
I was going to say.
That's what they do.
Sooner or later, you got to put somebody on the
Sooner or later, you go 8-8.
Or far worse.
Who knows? I mean, so far that hasn't happened. So far since the, you know, since 2001, you know.
But I am correct when I say they took a drop last year. That is correct, right? Okay.
Took a drop in what?
What? Injuries? Brady had his best season.
They were 10-6.
Well, I'm talking about, but I mean, that was a passing game, right?
No, I'm talking about as a team.
But can't you at least acknowledge that the 10-6 had a lot to do with the, you know, things other than how the roster was made up?
I don't know.
Well,
okay. How many?
To some degree, yes. To some degree, no. I mean, some
of the
guys
the roster
they
was made
in,
up with, yeah, Monty Beisel and Chad Brown and Dwayne Starks. They were part of the roster. How did they do?
I'm talking about the injuries to the frontline players.
Right, but you said has how the roster was made up, and they missed on a lot of guys they brought in.
I think they had a bad offseason. There's no doubt about that. We've talked about it at length, but I don't think
they
were
that bad. If Brown, Beisel, and Starks could have played, you're talking about another win or two.
Then they're not as affected by those injuries.
Right. So it did have to do with what they did last spring and summer.
Yep.
That's fine. I mean,
I can agree with that, even though it's antsy.
Did it have something to do with it? Yeah, but if their players didn't get hurt,
we should back down like Butch Stearns.
If their players didn't get hurt, they would have been better than 10-6.
They had 43 starters, and they were able to weather that a little bit better.
Had an easier schedule the year before.
Okay, all right.
But Dwayne Stark stunk from day one he got here. If he was better, they would have been better.
Listen, they weren't one of the best teams in the AFC last year, period. We all watched them, and we all saw it.
Yeah, well, the players that played were not among the best teams in the AFC. I agree with that. If their injured reserve list was active, then I would dispute that.
Okay.
I mean, as it was, they ended up going to Denver and completely self-destructed in a game, you know, that, you know, had that... You know, had they won another game or so, you know, and had that game at home, who knows? I don't think they were among the best teams. I think you're absolutely right, Tom. I don't think they were among the best teams in the AFC last year, based on the players that were playing.
Although I would say by the end of the season, like Paul said, if they hadn't self-destructed, I think they were the best team in the AFC.
Well, that's the Boomer Esiason opinion, that they were the
you
best
think
team in football.
Than Pittsburgh?
No. You can't take anything away
from Pittsburgh.
At the
end of the year, they
weren't. They beat 1-2-3-1.
Right.
You can't take anything away from that. The Patriots didn't do anything close to that last year. They were getting blown out at home by the good AFC
Tom,
teams.
Tom, they beat every playoff team they faced the year before. I mean, they had one
what?
Of
those, what?
Not last year, the year before. Every playoff team that came they came up against.
But
they
what
beat.
Does that have to do with?
We're
that?
Talking about this past
beating
season.
Quality
we're
opponents.
We're talking about this year.
This year they weren't.
They weren't one of the
yeah,
best
of
teams.
Not.
What Tom just
but
said is 1,000% right.
But by the end of the season, I think they were.
I don't know how you can say that.
And if they had won the Super Bowl, I would have agreed with you.
Every time they played a quality team, with the exception of Tampa Bay, they were thoroughly outplayed.
But they played two teams at home that
were
similar,
thoroughly outplayed
Tampa Bay and Jacksonville.
At the end of the season?
The game wasn't close.
You just told me they self-destructed.
I think they did self-destruct, but part of that...
That's not being outplayed.
Part of that was the other team, Fred.
Yeah, it's part of the game.
The other team made them self-destruct.
Were they outplayed or were they not, or did they self-destruct?
All right, well, the Indianapolis Colts outplayed or they self-destruct here in the AFC Championship game in 2004.
They were outplayed.
Thank you. I rest my case.
I'm shocked at that answer.
You just told me.
No more questions for this guy. I got no more questions for this guy. Your Honor. I have no more use for this guy.
This is what he does.
I'm the one that
people.
Said after the Denver game they were outplayed. You just said they self-destructed.
But I think a lot of that had to do with the other team.
You don't self-destruct if it's the other team. They did it.
Fred, you're using semantics. The other
well,
team had something
said.
To do with it, but they also self-destructed.
Okay,
they dropped the ball.
But let's just be honest here. If you keep losing coaches and players and don't replace any of them, and you've already taken a minor step back, you're not just going to automatically, this isn't a fairy world, you're not going to automatically just magically end up in the Super Bowl. It doesn't
right.
work that way.
And the
I
guys
agree with
that
Tom
they,
on that, too.
And the guys that they tried to replace last year didn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that is part of why they were 10-6 instead of 12-4.
And your losses are potentially getting more major. I mean, you're talking about Willie McGinnis, a big-time playmaker for you in key situations. David Givens, a playmaker in key situations for you. Adam Vinatieri, a playmaker in key situations.
And no doubt, they've got a
You might not find yourselves
with,
in those key situations.
With as good or better guys. Yeah,
decision okay. playmakers if you're
Me
not
and Andy playoffs. Were talking about
All right, you
this.
Guys have convinced me. I'm backing off my stance. I'm going out on the ledge with you guys. It's over.
But me and Andy were talking about this. Let me see what you two think about it. We were talking about, like, Montana, how great he was. But the 49ers put pieces in place around him because they knew how good he was, and they were unstoppable. I think if they don't go out and get offensive weapons, it's a disservice to Tom Brady because he's so good that if you gave him some explosive offensive weapons, this offense would be totally unstoppable. And bringing in your Tim Dwights, that's just not cutting it anymore.
I agree with that. I think if you can get if you think you can get by again, sure. And they didn't get by, but with Corey Dillon. Even, you know, the way he played last year, wow. And without a legitimate number two, I don't think you're being realistic. They've got to get better in those areas.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you. David Givens, wouldn't you think David Givens, for a team built like the Patriots, where you're trying to kind of fill holes and rebuild, isn't he the perfect guy that you hang on to 2 years ago?
Yeah, but not for $5 million a year.
I don't think you would have had to pay $5 million a year if you had gone after him a little earlier.
So you're saying the process of them not wrapping players up before they hit the market.
Right.
Is
if
the
they
problem.
Want to take the baseball yeah. mentality to yeah, small market, part of that is
then.
Signing a guy.
I think they tried.
Remember, they had to do.
I don't think they did.
Tom Brady was priority number one back then.
Okay, well.
You know, it's.
Then you find yourself in this situation,
right, well,
Tom Brady and nobody
that's
else.
That's why it's a little bit difficult.
See, I think you lucked out and drafted a seventh round pick who developed into a pretty good player.
You can't,
that could
you
help
can't
you for a long
everyone.
Time.
You know, you
How about
make
anyone?
A decision.
How about anyone?
Well, they, I mean,
it's basically, they have one wide receiver, Fred. They have one
Brady.
Wide receiver.
That was their number one priority, and they got it done.
I agree with Tom. I think at some point you got to give Brady some other stuff to work with.
If they do Seymour by training camp, you know, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it?
That would be a good thing.
You know, wrapping him up.
I would say that a lot of the Patriots fans right now that are, and we're obviously having a little fun here. You know, I don't think anybody thinks that their off season is a disaster. It's old.
It's not even a week old.
Right. It's 5 days into free agency. But
if we're going to grade on the run, it's an F.
Certainly if, right. Certainly if, you know, if they were to re-sign Seymour long term, I think that puts a big change on the complexion of the off season. Mm-hmm. Immediately.
Or bring in a Julian Peterson
and let's face it, when something like that happens, and I won't even say if, because you know they'll sign somebody or re-sign Branch or Seymour.
Something.
Andy was saying he'd be shocked. He said before we started the show, he'd be absolutely shocked if Branch isn't re-signed before training camp. I'd probably agree with him. We're not going to hear about it. It's just going to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You don't hear about things in New England. That's not how they do things.
Yeah.
It's not like one writer finds out about it and then, you know, there's talk about it for a week and then it happens. That's not how it works here. It happens.
You get the call 5 minutes before the press conference.
5 minutes before the press conference, you find out that you need to go down there and talk to a guy. That's how it'll happen.
All right, Vinatieri, thoughts? Is he worth $3 million
a year?
Good kicker.
It's pretty clutch.
What do you do with him, though?
I mean, I don't know. I'm here, and he can't hit 50-yard field goals.
I'd give him three.
The smear
I wouldn't go higher than three.
On Adam Vinatieri.
I'd give him three.
Who's smearing him?
Oh, you're not listening.
It's out there. Who? All of a sudden, guy hasn't hit a 50-yard
field goal. No, they are.
Four seasons.
Some of the fans are. Some of the fans are.
Really? They're idiots.
You mean the fan who wrote in yesterday and said he'd spit in Adam Vinatieri's face?
And I believe he forwarded the email to us.
It has nothing to do with his ability. It's just that he's being greedy. That was the theme of
And we're hearing about short kickoffs, which last year I think
he improved.
Statistically, he improved dramatically on kickoffs.
He goes from suddenly he's not just a kicker; he's a football player on my team. I wouldn't have any other kicker. Now he can't hit 50-yard field goals
and then
kick off.
And then in November and December and
You're
into the
leading it
and into the playoffs when it's 25 degrees and windy at Gillette Stadium in a playoff game, and they have a 4th and 6 from the 36-yard line, and they're either going for it or punting. They're somehow turning that now into saying that the coaching staff has lost confidence in Adam Vinatieri.
Yep.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
But who's they?
Are you listening to any talk radio?
No.
Are you listening to some of the talk show hosts?
All I hear is we got to sign Vinatieri.
But let me ask
that's
you.
That's all I hear.
How much is peace of mind worth?
Who's saying
I'm telling you, it's
some
out
idiot?
There.
On the radio?
It's not just callers. It's talk show hosts. There's been some allusions to statistics.
There has been, Fred.
In print.
There's three people here saying yes, and you're saying
you've not been reading or listening to anything.
Tell me.
Because it's out there.
Besides
we just told you.
Besides some moron calling up talk radio, Who's saying this?
And we're just saying that the fans and some other media people are starting to lay the groundwork.
Who?
Speaking of morons,
I just called
508-543-7482. I happened to hear on ESPN Radio.
Sugar Honey Iced Tea.
Yesterday, Ryan Russillo was on with a guy named Jeff Goodman. They were talking about how old he is. I happened to hear Dan Le Batard today on WEEI. Jerry Callahan, matter of fact, was saying how he hasn't connected from 50 yards. He might be getting on in years. He's aging. John Dennis disputed the fact that he's aging because kickers can kick well into their 40s. Dan Le Batard came on to talk about something else, because Adam Vinatieri's not aging. What is that all about? He's not aging. So there's, you know, some prominent national guys, some prominent local guys, and some maybe less prominent local guys.
All
that's five examples right there of media guys that are talking not necessarily favorably about Adam Vinatieri. Is that enough? Is that enough of a sample for you?
Four of us aren't.
We don't. We disagree with that.
Right? Yes.
We think he's.
Well, Fred, let me ask you this.
My question to you guys: is he worth? $3 million a year.
How much is peace of mind worth? Because the first game I ever did here was in Pittsburgh, and when they got in the field goal range, everybody in the media room started packing up to leave to go downstairs.
No one even watches the field goal.
They knew he was going to make that kick. Now, if that's Vanderjack, do you pack up and leave?
No.
Well, then I say he's worth $3 million. If Ryan Longwell's worth $2 million, then I'll give the extra million to Vanderjack.
I would, too.
Now, if he wants $3.5 or $4 million, then we're starting to get too crazy.
Well, what's an extra $500,000?
Well, if you already win, we're already giving him an extra $500,000.
Now you're talking an extra million.
I'm saying $3 million's my cap. I'd say we give you $3 million. That's it.
Okay. We don't know what the Patriots have offered him.
No.
And we don't know what he's asking.
It's been reported between $2 and $3 million with no guaranteed money. That's the reports.
With
don't
no
know if that's
accurate. Money, no signing bonus. Nothing.
Oh, that's disrespected.
I can't believe that. How
I'd
can
be
that
out
be?
Too.
How
that's the reports.
That was the report. What do you want me to tell you? No guaranteed money.
I that could be his agent trying to make the Patriots look bad.
Well, no, my guess is he resigns. That's my guess.
What?
My guess is he still resigns. I think he goes to Green Bay. I think he goes to Dallas, and then he ends up resigning with the Patriots.
For those of you who turned into the podcast roster report, Tom Casale, 180-degree turn.
Why? What happened?
Gibbons would be here, Vinatieri wouldn't, you said.
You did say that on the roster.
Vince
was going to be here?
I never said Gibbons would be
here. I wasn't
here.
On the last podcast, right, but I can't imagine
I've never
Tom
said
say
Gibbons. You said Gibbons over Adam would be here.
Yeah, I think you did.
I never said that.
I never said that.
At what point have any of you ever heard me say Gibbons would be back?
Without
like
being,
Kenneth Lay from Enron.
I was not part of it. I was not there on Friday afternoon to do the podcast this last week. But Tom has never once, in my recollection, said that Gibbons was going
to
be back.
Well, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know that part.
What,
I know he said first guy gone was Vinatieri.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
He definitely said first
but
guy.
But now I'm just saying from what other teams have already signed. You know, you got to go by what other teams are already filling their kicker needs. So basically you're down to Green Bay and Dallas. That's maybe Atlanta.
Well, I mean, if the Patriots have offered Vinatieri a deal and none of it's guaranteed, that's ridiculous.
Well, that was also before the CBA got done. So maybe that had something to do with the lack of guaranteed money. I don't know. I'm
ridiculous.
Just
I can't believe
I'm just
that.
Want to state the facts here, Andy. That's all.
I mean,
you know,
even
I
not
to
a
get
signing
all
bonus.
Just turned into a company man overnight.
I mean, even Ray Ventrone got a signing bonus. You know?
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I think like $5,000. You know, but
well, how about this in terms of the market for kicking? The report,
Neil Cornrich, even Ray Ventrone got a signing bonus.
The report in the I think it was the Orlando Sentinel yesterday. Obviously one of the South Miami papers, South Florida papers. Orlando Mari is asked to be either released or traded or out. He wants out.
Right.
They want to cut his pay. He says he won't take a pay cut. He wants out.
But he's not as sure. Hasn't been able to be in the position that Vinatieri's been in.
I'm not talking about that. I'm saying if Miami suddenly is in the market for a kicker, what better place for Adam Vinatieri? His wife is from there. His home is. He lives in Celebration now. Tom just said it's basically Green Bay and Dallas. He's right, but if Miami suddenly jumps into the picture.
Well, do you think, I mean, we know tampering happens. Do you think Miami has said, look, if we can get Mari out of here, we'll sign you?
That's not tampering.
He's a free agent.
He's a free agent now. The other thing is,
maybe
Vinatieri isn't happy. Maybe he doesn't want to come back here.
Maybe he feels disrespected by the fact that they never put it off, didn't get it done, and then offered him reportedly a deal with no guaranteed money.
And that was a report. That wasn't my deal. That was some
says,
report.
Screw
the,
you. Not only
papers.
Am I not taking your deal, I'm taking less money elsewhere.
I just can't believe that, though, that they would give him no guaranteed money.
Well, maybe, you know, no is a relative term here. Maybe it was...
Either they are or they aren't.
Yeah, but maybe they said $200,000 signing bonus, and other guys are getting $3
million. Just no guaranteed money.
Yeah. I mean, for a kicker, a guy who's not likely to get hurt, I don't think it's that much of a risk to say, we'll give you this is your salary and we guarantee.
I thought Dallas would gobble him right up, and when they didn't, Now I'm kind of wondering where if teams are going to pay what he's asking.
That's what I'm saying.
And you wonder,
he's pissed off, they might not have to pay what he's asking anymore.
I heard he's basically operating without an agent.
Well, it's the Hurst guy, right?
Jonathan Hurst,
but
underling of Cornrow.
I heard he's not operating with an agent, and that's one of the problems.
I don't know that.
So,
I had not heard that.
What about McGinnis?
Gone.
He's
Cleveland?
I've been predicting that for months.
Clearly not happy.
Gone.
I think McGinnis is upset.
Why? Everything he says, he has no bitter, no...
They didn't call after they cut him.
Yeah,
he assumed that they would have a negotiation and come back under a new deal, and they haven't contacted him.
Since when?
Since they cut him.
They called him to let him know he was being cut. They never contacted his agents, and his agents found out about it on ESPN. They never tried to negotiate. They never said, we're not going to pick up that bonus, but we want to talk to you. They never said that.
Okay.
He's gone.
And I think that his story in ESPN on ESPN.com with Len Pasquarelli, I think, was a calculated plan of attack by McGinnis and Gary Uberstein, his agent, to try to sort of shake the pot a little bit and get the attention of the Patriots and let them know that they weren't happy.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
I'm going to ask you.
Andy and Tom and I have talked. I actually talked to Mike Reese a little bit about this today.
The god of football
talk? The god of Patriots football talk. He sort of agreed.
Do I hear a little bitterness there?
By no fault of his own, though.
Yeah, you know, if he wasn't such a good guy, we really would have some bitterness there, but we all like him a lot.
Okay.
But go ahead.
All right. I'm going to ask you to put on your Scott Pioli, Bill Belichick hat. Vinatieri looks like he might be gone. Givens is gone. Everyone's flying out the door. McGinnis might be gone. Looks like it. What are they thinking? Assuming that you think that they know what they're doing, what are they thinking?
What are they thinking, or what would I do?
Well, I'm assuming they're continuing to look at guys.
They know what they're doing. What are they going to do?
They're doing what they've always done, I guess. Put a value on a guy, and they're not willing to deviate from that value.
And they methodically go about. They don't rush into things. They methodically go about free agency. We're hearing reports that they're talking to Fabini today, maybe D'Shea Townsend. Now, I'm not extolling the virtues of any of these players or criticizing any of these players. But this is to sit there and think that they're just sitting around watching everybody get signed. It's not what's happening. They're talking to players. We just don't know who they're talking to.
Okay. But
so I think they continue to do what they do.
I think the receiver position is starting to get a little... Because, you know, what if Mould isn't cut? You know what I mean? Just what if he isn't?
Or if he's cut
or if he's
and
straight.
Goes somewhere else?
You know, and Fred, what if the stuff that you heard, you know, kind of heard about Mould is accurate? And they're not really sold on his ability to kind of come here and pick up the system, right?
What about...
He's going to have to. If he comes, he's going to be your two... Or better, and need to be out there day one starting and playing a key role in your offense.
You know what? You just said something that's very interesting, Andy. What if he doesn't want to come here and be a two?
Right.
Maybe he wants to go
to
Kansas City
to be
and be a one.
If he doesn't want to go from $7 million to $1 million with the potential to earn a little bit more?
And play second fiddle to Deion Branch.
He can go to Kansas City and be the main guy.
All I know is Kevin Mawai was a guy who, they had a secret visit with him. He'll bring good depth to the line when they sign him.
Ten minutes later, he signed somewhere else.
we talk about more money, presumably. But, you know, we talk about tampering, and it doesn't exist, but we know it does. You know, do you think that the Patriots have these things kind of in place where the reason, you know, they're not doing anything now because they know what's going to happen down the road?
With who?
With a guy like Moles.
Well, that's the only one. We talked about tampering.
I mean,
they know that they have a good chance to get T.O., and that's why they're...
He's available.
No, I know, but I would assume they would have had to do that a little bit ahead of time.
Well, I mean, he had permissions. That's not even tampering. I mean, he had permissions to talk to
people.
Get
rid of the word tampering.
I don't care about that. We know about tampering.
Do they have pieces in place that they think are going to fall into place?
You know, Tom found that report today on that website today that said that...
What website?
There was a website that reported that there was another team interested in Terrell Owens, and it was the Patriots, but they're trying to keep it secret. They said it wasn't a great deal of interest.
The Patriots are trying to keep
it secret? They've inquired about him.
Yes, the Patriots are trying to keep it.
Which I would actually find it shocking if someone did inquire about him.
Right.
Just to see.
You do what you
got to figure out what that means.
Doing
did they talk to Drew Rosenhaus at the combine, or did they?
And from what I understand, Belichick has a pretty good working relationship with Drew Rosenhaus. Surprisingly.
He should. He took him to the cleaners on Gus Scott's team.
Next question.
So I wouldn't be surprised if at least Scott Pioli picked up the phone to see what
Pioli's and you do a disservice to your team and your organization if you don't look into every possibility.
Right.
Right.
So that doesn't surprise me.
But there's a difference between doing that and saying, oh, yeah, we got T.O. in
making
the
an offer.
We got pieces in place.
Right.
No, but take it one step further. They're not doing X, Y, and Z because they got these other things ready to fall into place.
What about Keyshawn Johnson?
I'm not sure any of those moves are ready to fall into place.
Okay.
I think it's the value thing. They saw David Givens as a $3 million max value, and he got $5 million. He's out. They see, you know, Willie McGinnis at X, and he's out. Or they see Adam Vinatieri at 2.6, and he wants 3.1. He's out. I don't think it's necessarily, well, we've already lined up a deal with X kicker to replace him. It's just a value thing, and we'll move down the value chart.
And do you agree with that philosophy?
No, I think it's a good philosophy on paper. But to limit yourself and say, David Givens simply isn't worth it, is blind to the fact that you don't have any wide receivers on your roster and you don't have anybody for Tom Brady to throw to.
I know, but do you veer from your philosophy and overpay David Givens just because you're afraid?
I think sometimes you have to.
No, I wouldn't have for him.
I wouldn't have done it
or wouldn't do it. There's a difference.
If Givens is the one you say,
I don't do it.
Right.
But you got to do it sometime or eventually you have nobody on your team except Bam Childress and Ricky Bryant and a bunch of nobodies, and you're a bad football team.
But you got plenty of money in the bank.
But I guess you look at each situation as its own situation, and in this case, I wouldn't have paid Givens $5 million.
No, I wouldn't either. But you mentioned.
But shouldn't you have planned ahead then and said, you know what, he's going to get more, and we got to have something in place, or else we don't have any receivers.
Well,
but you mentioned Keyshawn, Fred. Let me ask you. Now, you guys have told me that him and Bill are rather close.
They are.
Okay.
So for a fact.
Okay. So here's the thing, though. You know that the Patriots like to control the talk in the locker room. If you get a guy like Keyshawn, you can't. How do you shut him up? You can't. He's always
going to
talk.
The other thing about that, Tom, is, and I'm sure that the Patriots fans would be much more willing to embrace Keyshawn Johnson coming in than they would Terrell Owens.
Oh, right.
Right?
Even until they started playing football.
I'm just saying in general. Patriots fans
is up here.
Patriots
Keyshawn
fans aren't that dumb. If we were just talking strictly football, Patriots fans wouldn't hate Terrell Owens.
Right. Too much credit.
I'm sorry.
I heard a guy on the radio say, you know, if they can get a guy like Keyshawn, a big, fast, get down the field, big play
fast,
wide receiver, and I was like,
he's not fast. He's never been fast.
Get down the field.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking if you polled 100 Patriots fans and you said, who is the best wide receiver available, 100 in terms of talent would say Terrell Owens.
Absolutely.
100 out of 100.
And they know that.
But
I think they
think Keyshawn and Terrell Owens are closer than they are.
No.
What I'm saying is,
I heard the guy say it on the radio. Well, I'm a man of the people. Give me some credit.
What I'm saying is there's more of a comparison between those two off the field than I bet if you asked 100 Patriots fans,
who would
you rather have the whole package, Keyshawn or Terrell Owens, 95 of them would say Keyshawn.
Paul's right.
There is no difference.
Right.
None.
You're exactly
They both did the same thing. They both openly quit on their team.
Right.
And were deactivated in the same exact process. Same thing. Similar a situation as you can have in two different guys in two different organizations.
The media
Tampa
just
Bay
made
did
more
the same
out of the
thing.
T.O. thing because ESPN had 24-hour T.O. coverage.
It was T.O. cam.
Yes.
But
the only difference.
Keyshawn did the same thing to Tampa Bay and John Gruden as T.O. did to Philadelphia and Andy Reid. Same thing. But I'll guarantee you, if we sign Keyshawn, Patriots fans would be much more willing to embrace him than they would be T.O.
Led by.
You know,
F. Kirsch.
You don't understand. I'd embrace T.O.
I know. You'll embrace anyone to put him in uniform.
Right. It's all about
I'll
uniform with
T.O.
you.
And you'll say Adam Vinatieri couldn't hit a 50-yard field goal if he puts on a Packers uniform.
I would have to admit, I'll be very torn if they sign T.O. because I hate those guys. And I don't like bad guys on my team. I want to win with good guys.
See, I already have the speech by Belichick to his players when he signs T.O. I already know exactly what
new sheriff in town,
say, and I know how he's going to sell it to his
bam,
to,
I got
to
it.
His guys. I know how it's going to work.
Well, go ahead.
See, but I don't have as much problem with T.O. He's a bad teammate.
Right.
Well, and here's
it's almost worse than being a bad person.
Thing,
he must
know,
be in another galaxy.
It's not really for
there's
me.
No way that would
I mean,
happen.
Because I don't have to deal with it.
Within reason. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, whacking the wife around or, you know, getting caught
right.
selling
he
crack
do
or whatever.
Illegal.
Those things are worse.
Without
but
doing,
in terms.
Why are you bringing Dylan?
He did the worst
thing. It's like a DUI. It's like a one-time thing. Like Ruben Drones, by all accounts, was a one-time DUI. Like,
right.
He broke the law. T.O. didn't break the law. I hold T.O. much less esteem than I do Ruben Drones.
But okay. as far as a
you know,
non-
one broke the law, one didn't, but
right.
But as far as a non-criminal
it's kind of illegal.
He did the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, he threw his teammates under the bus.
The worst offense imaginable
in
team sports.
Right. But the last time we saw T.O.,
in his driveway?
Right. Now with that Drew Rosenhaus, press conference. He was apologizing up and down. Maybe it was
next
too
question.
Late. It was obviously too late for the Eagles, but that's the last time we heard from T.O. So you're Bill Belichick, and you had your interview with T.O. You know, you've laid down the law, set expectations. T.O. knows exactly what you expect from him. You're satisfied as Bill Belichick that T.O. understands you. You make the deal. You sign him. Next thing you do is you go to your players and you say, look, we all know what this guy did. But as far as right now, he's done nothing on this team, okay? And we're going to bring him in, and he's going to be a teammate, and he's going to do it the Patriots way. But so far, he has done nothing in New England, and that's the way we're going to proceed.
Okay. Now, can I give you an argument?
Okay.
Now, I love T.O. because I like players with talent, all right? But there's no possible way
you
could. You
know what? He's so pompous. Like, I look above. I look above.
I know. I like players,
I like
no
players
talent.
With talent.
No,
you know, to suggest that we like all untalented
no,
players.
I'm going to tell you what the problem is. You didn't let me finish.
No, I just wanted to make fun
no,
of
No, I'm
you.
Just saying. I love players with talent, but here's your problem with T.O. He cannot be controlled, and I'll tell you why. Because he starts splitting the locker room because some people become close with him.
Right. No, and that happened in Philadelphia.
That's what happened.
And you're right. But, again, remember, Bill Belichick has talked with him. They laid it out. They discussed. He's met, set
that
the expectations.
That doesn't matter.
And Bill Belichick has decided that he can control him.
But Bethel Johnson is still sitting next to him going, I like this T.O.
Right.
guy.
It's almost like
taking over a government. He kind of gets people in his corner,
right.
And then all of a sudden he's.
Rodney Harrison is on the other side, and all of a sudden those two sides are clashing.
But now, T.O. is not stupid. He might
no,
be egocentric,
he's not stupid.
And he might be selfish and all that stuff, but he's not stupid. If he pulls what he did in Philly again, that's it
oh,
for
he's
him.
Done, yeah.
He's done.
Just like he was done in San Francisco.
He's done.
And Baltimore.
I mean, Corey Dillon may be
and
just as bad a guy as people think he was in Cincinnati. He might be still that bad guy, but he was smart enough to know, I got to keep my mouth shut.
He wasn't smart enough to not say, I don't give an F. Go tell Bill.
Yeah, but that
just,
was something else.
I just
was
think
it something else to his coach,
I think
who chose to bench him the next game.
It's very, very hard to control. Any team that takes him on is going to have a chance.
I don't give a it's absolutely a risk.
Yeah.
Is it a risk worth taking?
For me, yes.
It might be a risk worth
Why
taking.
Why wouldn't it be for Bill Belichick?
No, it would be.
No, but you say it's a risk worth taking for you. Is it a risk worth taking for Bill Belichick?
Yeah, because if you give Tom Brady, Deion Branch, and Terrell Owens, it's all and Benjamin Watson, it's
I agree.
All over.
Deion Branch becomes
I agree with you.
A tremendous weapon as the number two opposite
because,
Terrell Owens. Because Deion Branch is open about not even close to as many times as Terrell Owens is on every given
I
play.
I agree.
Especially when David Gibbons wasn't
if,
there.
If Deion Branch tried to be the typical number one receiver on another team, he'd be shut down.
Right.
You know, 60-70% of the time.
And you know what? That's their sales pitch when they try to re-sign him.
But my God!
That's why I'm saying I wouldn't give him the $24 million
right.
that Gibbons got. I saw him.
Yeah, but,
I saw him get taken out of enough games as it was.
Deion Branch was not going to listen to that.
I know, but that's going to be the Patriots' sales pitch.
And,
if you go elsewhere,
and you're going to get mad at them. For
and
that.
At this time next year, you'll
the
be
player. I think should go for the money.
At this time next year, you'll be you'll be ripping them.
They're right. You'll be ripping them if they said that about him.
No, that's not true.
I just why he didn't rip the Patriots for not signing Gibbons.
I said I probably wouldn't have.
But I would have tried to have a plan in
Terrell
place
Owens,
so I didn't have Bam Childress lining up.
But Terrell Owens on this team makes everybody better.
Right.
And that's another
right.
one of the Belichick's
but
arguments.
For right. a little while, anyway.
But well, yeah, until he decides just, he doesn't want to do it.
It makes the whole team worse.
I don't think this is the place for him, Fred. I really don't. I mean, I think there's just...
But we would have said the same thing about Corey Dillon.
But do we agree this is the most controlled team
in the NFL? Not necessarily saying I'm wrong, either.
This is the most controlled team in the NFL, right? We agree.
Indeed.
That.
I would at least it's among them, yeah.
No, well, the most.
But you listen to other agents
and how they're dealing with everything. Fred. This is the most controlled team.
Saban is just as controlling.
I don't think so.
And the big difference Tom is going to hit right now between T.O. and Dillon.
Yeah, Dillon is not a big talker. He doesn't like talking to the media. T.O. holds court.
He relishes
every
it.
Can't help
you're right.
And
you're right.
Now, listen, we've heard Tom Brady himself said, talk about an injury and say, you guys know I can't say anything. Belichick told me not to. How long is T.O. going to keep his mouth shut?
Right. You know, when T.O. Like has like 35 catches in the first 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden he goes the next 3 weeks with only about 10 catches, but it's because he has a sprained MCL.
Right.
Do you think he's not going to tell you?
And then he'll also say, tell Bill, I don't give a...
We got a lot of emails. Gabe on the PO says he's from Trevose, Pennsylvania. Unfortunately, I agree that I would go with T.O. over Keyshawn, but only for 1 year because T.O. needs to prove that he can conform to team rules and team play so that he can sign a big contract with another team next year. Keyshawn doesn't have to do this.
Well, that's the question. What is the market going to... How is it going to play out for T.O.?
Chris Mortensen reported that T.O.'s not going for that anymore. He saw what these other guys were making. Now he's going for the big money.
But he has to find somebody to give it to him.
But who's
going to
give him $15 million signing bonus? Who's
Dallas Cowboys.
I think they're crazy if they do that.
I'm just telling you that's probably the team. If you ask
and they
me,
won't give Adam Vinatieri $3.5 million, but they'll give T.O. $15 million.
T.O. can
Dallas
change
does
season.
That, Tom. If Dallas
Pro
does
Adam Vinatieri could have changed
is,
Dallas
is
Cowboys season.
Is Marcellus and Jerry Jones on the same page, or is there a split on that decision? And Jones gets the win.
I think they won't sign him unless Parcells wants him there, but as far as the money goes, that's all Jones. So,
right.
And I think he knows Parcells is only going to be here for another year or two. Okay. So he might be rolling the dice and
he
trying
gets the
to get
Trump
him
card.
Out.
I would. I'd sell out.
Drew Bledsoe. Okay. I mean, what does that do for his?
He'll put him in the Pro Bowl.
They signed Terrell Owens.
I think it puts Drew back on the map.
Or the hospital.
I mean, I don't think it's any secret that Donovan McNabb's best season, by far and away,
very excited
was
to be
the one
Dallas
season
Cowboy.
That T.O. played 16 games and kept his mouth shut.
And what does T.O. do when Drew hits a cornerback in stride on the way to the end zone late in a game?
Drew tells him to shut up, just like he told Keyshawn to shut up. I don't have any problem with that. I don't worry
about
it. I
think it could lead to fisticuffs with Terrell.
Drew's no, like, you know, little wallflower that's going to sit there and let T.O. He's not going to. He won't act like Donovan McNabb did, I'll tell you that.
I agree with that.
I think that's better.
I absolutely.
Think it's better to get it right out there and
absolutely.
Argue about
I agree
it
with
shut
that.
Up.
Sure, sure. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And as Tom and I, you know, were talking about, Donovan McNabb, I still think he's a pretty good player. Like, I know his stock has really fallen in this past year, both on and off the field. I think he's a better quarterback than Drew Bledsoe, but he's not a better passer. And that's all T.O. cares about.
That's all.
Is the ball getting to him when it's supposed to.
If T.O. makes Bledsoe that much better, what would he do for Tom Brady?
It's unstoppable.
That's what Tom's point
is. You signed T.O. today. You're $20
million. Tom and Andy have been on the campaign since when? When this happens.
$20 million under the cap, sign T.O.
When this happens, Fred, I'm telling you right now.
That's the most surprising thing.
Yeah, we really thought this was going to go in a different direction. But when this
how do you try to get it done? Because I said this morning, I would give him like a one-year, $7 million deal. I'll just give him the money straight up front. That's your salary for this year. And we'll talk after the end of the year, see how we're doing.
Yeah.
And I wonder if T.O. would take something
when
like that.
When this happens,
I don't know if Moore is going to be out there.
I want permission from you. I want to put it out there that, as was first reported in Patriots Football Weekly and Patriots.com by Andy Hart and Tom Casale, Terrell Owens has signed with the Patriots. Because we were the first by far and got mocked, ridiculed, and laughed at. So if there's any chance whatsoever that this happens...
And
I want to throw it in
Fred
everyone's face.
Okay.
I'm nothing if not spiteful. I want to throw everything in someone's face.
I don't
face.
Know, though. Bethel Johnson already wears 81, right?
Yeah, it'll be tough to get that number.
Well, that's the whole conspiracy theory. When they release Bethel tomorrow, Fred will be like, it's going to happen.
But
Dexter
Fred,
Reed.
The Adam Schefter on the NFL Network made a good point. He said, you know, Jerry Jones has kind of been on the back burner for the last few years, and it's not really his way. And he sees the marketing possibilities with a Terrell Owens.
Believe me, so do I.
And,
I told Ken Flanders, our director of retail,
remember last year?
The get the 81 Owens jerseys ready.
He sells the most jerseys by
now.
Going to
be
wearing number 24.
By far in the NFL, he sells the most.
That's
by far. Then you end up like the Eagles, who have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of jerseys in a warehouse.
Yeah, but you got to do it while the market's
hot. But they were selling out like crazy.
And no, I know. But apparently they now have jerseys that cost them $35 to buy. Wholesale or whatever they
that
play.
They're selling for $10.
$6 they're selling them for.
I can sell you a Malloy and Malloy shirt for $3 right now if you want
but
one.
How many thousands?
And I can't I can't get a Bledsoe shirt. They can still sell Malloy and Malloy shirts, but I can't get a Bledsoe shirt for my son.
Well, he hasn't played here for quite some time.
Well, how long has Lawyer been gone?
But at least he was in the new uniform. And plus, last time Bledsoe played, they were in the old uniform.
Plus, people still liked him.
See, why do you get ridiculous?
That's not a shot at Bledsoe.
He left the same year.
Wait, but they still liked him, so they still bought him. When the jersey went from 35 to 10, they're like, you know, I kind of liked her. I'll get a $10. People hated Lawyer Malloy when he left.
That's right.
That turned into wearing crap on your back.
That's why the Bledsoes are gone. They left the same year, Fred.
I thought Bledsoe was the year before.
Well, it was different timing, but it was the same season.
April.
It was April to September, but it was the same off-season. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I love the Spanish Channel.
All right. Well, all right. Gary, we need to take a break. We got a lot of emails.
Yeah, I need
to get
hosed down
after the break.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Touchdown! Tom Brady!
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
I'm Teddy Bruschi. You know there's no team like the Patriots. And no place like home field. No fans like ours. No victories like we've had.
And the Patriots have done it again.
And no better way to keep up with all of it than Patriots On Demand.
Introducing Patriots On Demand, exclusively with Comcast Digital Cable. It's your ticket to the Patriots all year long with Patriots video news, game highlights on Pat's replay, press conferences, and more. Just go to NFL Network On Demand and select from the Patriots On Demand menu to watch whenever you're ready. So call 1-800-COMCAST today and get your first month free on select Comcast Digital Cable packages.
There's nothing else like Patriots On Demand.
That's 1-800-COMCAST. Call today and get your first month free on select Comcast digital cable packages. Offer ends 1106. Restrictions apply. Offer does not include applicable taxes and additional fees. Call for availability, pricing, equipment, and service details. NFL Network On Demand and Patriots On Demand are subject to the NFL's blackout policy. Following the promotional period, regular rates apply unless service is canceled by calling 1-800-COMCAST.
Looking for the perfect item for the big game? Wear what the pros wear exclusively from the Patriots Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your New England Patriots.
Tom Brady, touchdown, Patriots!
And New England Revolution official apparel.
Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman!
Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots and Revolution gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts and hats to specialty items like flags, commemorative prints, and collectibles. With a huge selection of Patriots items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public 7 days a week, except during home games. Can't get to the stadium? The Patriots Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at Patriots.com. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you are in closer, you'd be in the locker room.
This is PFW in Progress.
Retirement, actually.
Retirement? What are you, a hockey player? You're talking old. No retiring from this.
PFW in Progress with Paul Ferrillo.
Well, that's Norrie's favorite. Special hero, tell us we want to stop.
Keep it coming.
Paul Perillo.
I don't know about you, but ever since we found this place, I catch myself fantasizing about this.
Me too. Sometimes during sex.
Paul Perillo.
I keep this up, I'm going to be cloning anonymous.
You should have called your sponsor before you bought that jacket.
Look at this guy. Members only? How you been wearing that?
Paul Perillo.
I caught a parasite over there. Actually, that's why I'm here. I've been dying for a Satriali's veal palm hero.
Paul Perillo.
F*** him. I hope that parasite eats his ass.
Paul Perillo.
Funny? You got a smack in the mouth?
Come on. I'm serious.
Do what your cousin Philly attorney.
I told you he was a f***.
Paul Perillo.
Funny. Oh, menu.
Paul Perillo.
You just gaudy. I could recite that menu in my sleep.
Paul Perillo.
Sorry, everything's so morbid. There's a man lying dead over there.
Paul Perillo.
Oh, my God. This eel is delicious.
Okay, Spanish macro now.
Like another sake hunch?
And you never know.
Lori might stop by.
So maybe we drive up there? Is that new?
Oh, the car. Yes. Yes, Porsche Cayenne. Like the pepper.
PFW in progress.
You know what? You want to get something done, you got to do it yourself.
All right, back here at PFW in progress. Paul doesn't think it was a good episode. I thought it was great. I thought it was one of their best.
PFW in progress?
I'm just really disappointed because I'm waiting for something to happen, and they come at you with this shock value of having, you know, some character hang himself at the end of an episode that we have no connection to whatsoever. Didn't mean anything to me.
So these guys need to watch a Shield. If you want to watch a real show,
don't say anything,
the Shield.
I didn't see last night yet.
Well,
I'm giving it a couple more weeks, and if they don't start going somewhere, I mean, I understand what they're trying to set up and everything with all of these guys that are, you know, Tony. They're setting up Tony's ultimate, you know, demise. They're trying to.
Well, this is the last season,
yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. Well, they're going to come back with four more next year, though.
Stop trying
it's going
to
be eight episodes,
you know,
and then a break,
is.
A short break, not a Sopranos-like hiatus. And then they're going to have four more, like, in January, I think.
So there's only eight shows?
I think
he gets killed at the end.
I think there's eight now. I think that's what I heard. Yeah, eight. Maybe there's 12.
Eight.
Four more.
You should watch The Shield, Fred.
Four,
it's better.
Eight.
I can't get involved in any more shows.
The Shield. You're losing The Sopranos. It's going off. Do The Shield. Imagine The Shield on HBO.
Show on
Imagine
TV
what they could do
far.
On HBO.
Better than 24?
It's oh, yeah.
Close.
Yeah.
24 is good. Shield is just... All out entertainment.
Better than American.
It might as well be on HBO with the things they. You didn't
saying.
See it last night. Wait till you see what they show. Well, woo!
Some of the things they say and do on the
what
Shield
they last night.
Well, I mean, okay, so they swear. Big deal.
Oh, that's not why the show's
a
good.
A fat guy banging a girl from behind has a heart attack, and they show the everything right there.
Saying, but that doesn't make a good show.
Christ, Fred.
That's
go
just
move
shock
on.
Value.
Move on.
Yeah, move on.
If you don't think
it's only won every award in the world.
I don't know. I'm just saying. But if that's the example of why it's
no,
good,
that's the shock
no,
value.
He's talking about why it should be on HBO.
Right.
I'm saying it's borderline on HBO.
It's amazing it's on cable TV with the stuff they
okay.
show.
Plus, you got Jimmy Johnson locked up.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Jimmy Johnson's a wacko in the cage. Just says stuff.
Like real Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah, that was the real Jimmy Johnson.
Terry should be in here, too. Terry should be in here.
That's what he was saying.
Terry Bradshaw?
I don't know. He just says Terry. I'm assuming he means Terry Bradshaw.
It was like a stupid cameo.
That's pretty funny.
And he was going,
he's just in the...
Terry
first,
should be in here.
He
Terry
pops up just in the background, and you're like, is that Jimmy Johnson?
That's
and
funny.
It is.
That's funny.
And
that's
I think
funny.
I think it coincided with the messed up hairdo that, because he has that kind of, it's all spiky and messed up. And
okay.
I think it coincided with that.
All right. Let's get to some emails here. This is from George, and he's got a long thing about what the Patriots should do, and then he gives us a bitch slap.
Wow.
That's okay.
Why?
All right. He says, if I was the Pats coach, I would trade up and grab Vernon Davis. We could use him at wide receiver or tight end, and imagine Brandon Watson, Graham Davis, and Johnson in our five wide sets. Good luck to the rest of the league defending us. Another option, four wide, leave out Johnson, bring in Dylan, leave in your linebackers, we pass all over you, put in the quick cover corners and safeties and Brady audibles to an I formation, and we have the three 250-pound tight ends blocking smaller guys and able to smash the opposing defense with force. We would have to give up a second-round pick and probably a third, too, but we will get a couple third-round or fourth-round picks from our departed free agents of a year ago anyways, which we could use for need. Mismatches are huge in the NFL, and this would definitely give us that as well as help us out with our need and add depth at wide receiver.
So is he saying all three tight ends are playing all the time?
Yeah, we're going to go to an all-air attack and use three tight ends to do it.
This is the same thing we talked about. Mismatches happen when you have the tight ends working on linebackers and safeties. Now, you bump those guys out and put them on corners, it's not a mismatch anymore. They're not going to beat them.
All right.
Can you get to the bitch slap?
Yeah. He says, P.S., many times we fail to see that humility is what garners respect from others. Clearly, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are subscribers to this theory, at least out in the open when the world is watching and can affect the masses, sets a good example for the fans and our youth, and makes for a better world to live in, don't you think?
I couldn't disagree with that more, but go ahead.
The fact is, gentlemen, you are as knowledgeable as most true Patriots fans. Lucky and blessed to have the jobs you do, and having a degree in journalism does not make you an expert writer or Patriots analyst, as we all make mistakes. Additionally, one would think one with a degree in great career with a great organization like the Patriots wouldn't feel the need to humiliate your own listeners and readers. Rather, he would take it upon himself as an educated man to rise above, forgive, and encourage and strengthen others. Praise Jesus.
We do what we want.
Praise Jesus.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Yeah, well.
You're a God squatter.
Hey.
I don't think any of us claims to be right on.
No.
When we're offering opinions, I don't think anybody has all the right opinions on what someone else is going to do. I don't know
Tom
how it could
does.
Be.
No.
I think that's been proven.
Did I ever say I was right on everything?
Yeah, you or like anything? Players with talent.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I
want Joe Gervicius here.
I like Terrell Owens because I like players with talent.
And what about this holier-than-thou thing? I mean,
yeah, give me a break.
They're a football team. They make decisions.
Well, I mean, to say that humility, I think that it's 100% the opposite when you talk about the things that we talked about in the whole first 45 minutes of the show. They put their values on players, and they do this, and they do that. I think that shows an utter lack of humility. They don't care about the person. They care about the value. And they'll just plug someone else in at that value. I think that's the ultimate show of a lack of humility.
To say they're an example to the youth and stuff, let's not go over. I mean,
it's a football
I read a thing from Scott Pioli, how upset he was, you know, when they drafted, Jabari Holloway out of Notre Dame.
Ugh.
And they should have known he would have never worked out because he had the audacity to go to his chemistry lab instead of football practice. They should have known.
That was a red flag, and we should have been
warned. Great example for our youth.
You guys are wasting your breath. You're arguing with somebody who said we should trade up and take Vernon Davis. End of story.
Isn't he the guy that had those amazing numbers?
He's a tight end. That would be their third tight end in 5 years.
And I know that.
And yes, they're getting better. They're moving up the freak ladder. Graham was a good athlete. Watson's a better athlete. Davis
and
is
he
better.
Wants to he wants to use a three tight end set.
Everybody seems to think that if you get a very fast tight end, that you can he could just be used as a wide receiver. And I don't necessarily know that that's true. Again, Bill Belichick and his coaching staff knows a lot more about this stuff than we do.
Unless you're going to cut Ben Watson.
But I don't see how you can.
Where did that come from? Daniel Graham.
But why do you want to do that?
I'm saying, you know, unless that's part of your
injury prone and drop
why would you take another tight end?
I'm just saying.
Why would you take another tight end?
It's insane.
Because they think they can use these tight ends interchangeably as wide receivers. You can go five wide with three tight ends on the field and create mismatches on matchups.
And by the way,
I think it's the opposite. They have they hold all the cards. The defense holds all the cards in that situation.
Why don't we just take like Chad Jackson or a receiver if we're going to draft the guy that we want to play receiver?
That's true. It's another novel concept.
All right. Let's
get to Rich. What was Rich's name? Rich in Rhode Island with the five wide set.
Right. Rich Bernard.
Yeah, he dumped us, huh?
Richard Bernard. Yeah, he's off.
No, he still listens. Dwayne says.
Sure he does.
What, you have the listener list there?
No, he when I was complaining about my allergies, he sent me a separate email.
I don't mind a good slam, but come up with a better email, then let's trade up to get another tight end first.
And leave Jesus out of it.
Yeah.
Dwayne says, okay, I know what you guys are thinking.
Slams.
Who's going to fill the void at outside linebacker with McGinnis gone? Well, I have an answer for you folks, and you're going to laugh, but some of you will cry, but it is the truth.
He can't even get
through. Who do you think that he...
I know the answer. I will recuse ourselves because we already know the answer, but go ahead, Tom.
Who do you think he's selecting as the fill for McGinnis?
He's got his fingers on the button.
Is it Dan Klecko?
Dan Klecko.
I heard the cry part. That's what...
now that you're done laughing or scoffing at the absurdness of that statement, let's get to the serious part of this email. I think I officially believe that the 2006 Patriots team isn't going to be a big-time contender. definitely a playoff berth, no higher than a 3 seed, no farther than the AFC Championship, another divisional round.
Not a contender, but they'll be in the AFC Championship.
One step from the
Super Bowl. This is what crafts this year. This is just like
our expectations are
right.
So
and it's just like Andy last year saying that they were going to go 11-5, and people writing in that he was being an idiot and disrespecting them to predict such a mediocre 11-5 record. Now, being the third seed.
I was going to be off by a game in the other game.
Third seed and possibly getting to the AFC Championship doesn't qualify as being a contender.
I mean, things can change, but I get the feeling that the Pats will have a very young and inexperienced offense, leading to the same inconsistencies we saw last year. It wasn't the defense that killed them so much as an inconsistent offense, and it doesn't seem that the Pats are trying to keep the pieces of their dynamic offense in place, so there will be a lot of new faces and more inconsistencies. I just know one player the Pats bring in will be another Donald Hayes. On another note, do you guys see the Saints signing of Drew Brees catapulting them into the playoffs this year? It seems some people I know have all just resigned themselves to the thought that the Saints will suck and will always suck. And my last question, do you guys think that Vinatieri will get north of $10 million in a signing bonus this year?
No. I think the Saints definitely improved themselves. I'm not ready to make playoff predictions.
Hey, do we know how his shoulder is, though? I mean, that was ugly.
Well, that's what we have to wait for and
see.
He's
throwing already.
He's supposed to be ready for the start of the season, unlike Culpepper.
My guess is they had pretty good doctors look at him before they gave him $10 million.
Well, he has to pass the physical.
Right.
And before the trade is consummated. Same with Culpepper.
And he had God do the surgery, Dr. James Andrews.
How does that guy have time to do all these?
My question is, why is he still working? He's got to be worth over $10 billion.
Everybody goes to him.
I know. Wrestlers, football, everybody goes to him.
He's the best. He's clearly the only doctor who knows anything.
Right. OTIS, Al Fecto. Writes, and you guys say this every year, and you are correct every year. There is no need to panic in terms of the Pats not doing much right now in free agency. However, I do think the Pats may have gotten reasonably surprised by the Browns not signing David Givens and instead taking Joe Jurevicius off the table. Then Givens goes to the Titans, and the Pats end up with neither one and may indeed be competing against both. It's looking like there may be a spot for PK Sam after all, or for Bam Childress, or for a draft pick. One thing about the wide receivers, they are not hard to find. We found David Patton bagging coffee beans or canning coffee grounds or whatever that was. I just hope we don't wait.
Banking on that.
Wait a minute. They take the one positive example. What happened to J.J. Stokes and Charles Johnson and Donald Hayes and David Terrell and all the guys who stunk?
That's right. Torrance Small.
I bet I can give you 4-1.
That's like saying, let's just draft our future quarterback in the sixth round.
Tom Brady. Easy. Get him anyway, sixth round. Wide receivers in the seventh.
I just hope we don't wait so long that we end up with the same sort of Monty Beisel, Chad Brown, David Terrell grouping we had last year. Much seems to be made about the Pats having not contacted Willie McGinnis since they cut him, but might not this be out of respect for Willie so as to allow him to field other offers on his own for a while?
According to Willie.
Willie didn't take it that way.
I just don't necessarily see that as a bad thing to do with someone, but whatever happens with McGinnis, is this not going to finally be the year we try to get younger at the linebacker position, either through the draft or via free agency or both?
Here's the thing, Al. You might not look at it as a bad thing, and I think Andy, Tom, and I all do look at it as a bad thing, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how we perceive it. What does matter is how the player perceives it. Troy Brown perceived it as a slight last year, and William McGinnis perceived it as a slight this year.
And reports are Vinatieri isn't happy. Yeah. We know Seymour isn't happy.
And I think that is telling that the players look at it. You know, they all say it's a business, and they all know how it works, but they really don't. They really look at it as they're the only one that matters, and when you're not getting taken care of, it hurts them.
Right.
And I don't want to say, like, you know, we're all, you know, a bunch of high school girls here and we need therapy and my feelings are hurt, but
they have ego.
There's an element. There's an ego shot. And I think that, like what we talked about with McGinnis early on, I think that his comments to Len Pasquarelli were clearly calculated. He wanted to let the Patriots know that he wasn't happy. And that's why he went out there and he made such a big deal out of the fact that they hadn't contacted him since they released
him. Doesn't he have our phone number? McGinnis?
It doesn't work that way.
508-543-7482?
He can't pick up the phone
but
and
it doesn't
say,
work
up?
That way.
Why?
I'll give you an example, Fred.
Okay.
I used to work at the Herald, right? I wanted to go back to the Herald for a long time, right?
Yeah.
How many times did I pick up the phone and call them to ask them if they could take me back?
Well, why didn't you?
Used to?
Because that's not my position. If they want me back, they come and get me.
Paul, you got to do that.
And it never happened.
I know, but did you pick up the phone at all?
No.
Why?
Because that's not how it works.
Fred.
Yeah.
That's how I got here.
That's not how it works, Fred, in the real world.
Sometimes.
No, it isn't.
You got to.
They know that I want to come back there, and if there's an opportunity.
You never told them. How do you know?
I did tell them.
So you did tell them.
Yes.
Okay.
And then
I did tell them.
But I didn't.
So you
up,
did tell them.
But that was when I left, Fred. They know I want to come
Apparently
back.
John Tomasi picked up a few more times.
No, actually, he didn't. That's the whole point. You apply for a job.
John Tomasi.
Exactly. That's my point in a nutshell. They wanted another guy.
And
right now, they're not talking to William McGinnis, but they are talking to Jason Fabini.
And neither is Tomasi.
They're talking to D.J. Townsend. The Herald wanted John Tomasi. That's
actually,
the guy they
example.
Called.
And if Paul had had
a perfect example.
If Paul had had another paper to go to that said, okay, we'll sign you, Paul would have signed with him.
Right?
Instead, I'm happy to be here, Fred. I see the pile of checks right here on the desk.
I notice one is missing now.
Let's go.
All right.
I think it's a perfect example.
Web Radio
wanted someone else, just like the Patriots are acting as if they want someone else.
Sometimes an employer wants to see how much you want to be there.
Oh, okay.
For example, I wanted to come back. Look, Fred, how much I wanted to be here. Much more than Paul.
Webradio at patriots.com. The email address 508-543-7482.
And while I'm excited about my future,
the phone number. And on the phone right now, we've got
Jamie. Apply for a job over there, you. You didn't just call, like, random.
Jamie from Houston. Jamie, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Long time no hear.
Yeah.
Jamie, smack some sense into Fred, will you, please?
What's up?
Hey, Paul, I can hook you up. I got some connections with the Lowell Sun, you know. I can get you away.
I'm not interested in taking a step down at this stage of my career, though.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
How's that, Fred?
I like it.
PFW, Lowell Sun, step down. What I did there?
Yeah. Although you were ready to jump ship for the Herald.
I wouldn't
yellow boxers.
I wouldn't necessarily say that would be accurate today, though.
Not anymore, right. Okay. What do you got for us, Jamie?
Well, you know, we're probably getting rid of our one problem child, Mr. Dillon, maybe perhaps this year.
Why do you say that?
We got green light for Terrell Owens. Let's get Terrell Owens. Why not, right?
What about both of them?
We're talking about Terrell.
You think Dillon might be gone this year?
I think he'll be gone this year.
I don't think he'll be gone. I think he's going to be here, and I don't think that's a good fit with T.O. Oh, boy. Lots of things starting to clash.
Boy, you got Rodney in one corner, Dillon in one corner, T.O. in another corner. Bethel, very impressionable young guy, could go in any corner.
But having Rodney on this team is one of the reasons why I think they could make it work with Terrell Owens.
He hates Terrell Owens.
And he said,
I can see them going the whole year without speaking to each other.
They'll make up.
I'll go get it out of PFW right now, the four-paragraph quote.
He called him a jerk.
Never on my team. He didn't want him in his city, in his organization, in his locker room.
Look, I remember when Brad Park was with the New York Rangers, he wrote a book called Play the Man. He called the Boston Bruins organization and their fans Bush League.
I agree.
When he came over here, it was all forgotten. That's how these things work.
That's the best you can come up with?
You've
got to go back 30 years?
It's true.
It never changes, Paul. Never changes. That's my point.
Fred, you speak of the truth.
Okay. Anyway, what else, Jamie?
Not a whole lot.
Okay.
Jamie, did you get
How are the Postons doing? Did you get excited? Was there any the boy coming home, Givens, and then he found out they didn't want to spend any money on him? Were you excited that he might be playing
down
there?
There wasn't a whole lot of buzz about it. It did make the local radios that he was in town looking for something, but nobody was shed any tears to know that he was moving on. Everybody thinks the money he's looking for is too rich.
Right.
Yeah, I think your boy John McClain got used too by Charlie Casserly.
The whole
thing about him re-signing with the Patriots. I think that was a plant. And,
I haven't followed a whole lot of that, so I really can't speak intelligently on it. But Casserly's a New Englander. He's a shrewd guy. He's going to do what he needs to do.
You don't need to speak intelligently on this show.
I was going to say you listen to the show all the time.
I try.
We don't always speak intelligently. Especially when Fred's hosting.
All right. What is that?
What?
Jamie, what's the buzz on Vince Young down there lately?
Oh, we're hurting for him. Everybody still seems to think we're going to go for Reggie Bush.
You should.
But if we were smart, no, I'd ask Carr in a heartbeat. I mean, he needs to go. I mean, the one
Wait till you
that
get Reggie Bush, Jamie. Wait till you call us next year.
Reggie Bush is legit. You'll be very happy if Reggie Bush
well,
is playing.
You know, I think I'd have rather have Lindell White, to tell you the truth.
No chance.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
But, sorry, but you're
Lindell White is a fat piece of garbage who doesn't work. Reggie Bush is a special player. Special
Jamie, me
player.
And Andy just got done breaking down film yesterday, and we're going to tell you right now, man, there's no comparison.
There is no, yeah. no comparison. At worst, if he's a complete bust, Reggie Bush will be one of the best third down backs in the league.
That's
if he's a bust.
Bust.
Or he could be the next Marshall Faulk Hall of Famer, tremendous talent.
Well, we could certainly use it, but between him and Vince, I'd still take Vince. I'd unseat Carr and work with Vince.
Woody Hayes and Bear Bryant breaking down the film yesterday.
Jamie, I'm as big a Vince Young fan as there is out there, but Reggie
yeah,
Bush
I
is
even converted him over
ridiculous.
There.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Vince Young will put fannies in the seats.
Well,
I mean, that's
Bush might
about.
Put a fan or two in the seats, too.
Bush might not get the ones, like, from April to September, but two games into the season, when people are going, oh, my God, I got to get tickets. This guy's amazing. You'll get the fannies in the seats.
Plus
he's that good.
Plus, it's the best stadium in the league.
That's
How
true,
can you
too.
Not go just for that?
That's true.
It is the best stadium in the league.
Sweet
Sweet
the best.
I'll agree with you. It's nice.
It's the best stadium in football.
I love that place.
And it'll look very good with Reggie Bush scoring and fireworks and the roof open. You're gonna love them. If
get
they,
the little
if
triplets
they keep the
there. You got Bush, Carr, and Andre Johnson, right?
Yeah. Now, hopefully, Bush doesn't underachieve like the other two. But
well,
yeah.
I wouldn't say
yeah.
Andre
I
Johnson
mean, they've
has.
You know they've got some horses in the stable, but they haven't been producing. And maybe with Kubiak in there, he'll get the job
I think
done.
If Carr gets his head straight. He can be good. When he first came in, he showed signs that he could be a good player.
I wonder
he's lost
feet.
A lot of
yeah.
confidence.
I wonder if he's punch drunk.
It's
now.
Drew Bledsoe. He's gotten sacked 60 million times.
Yeah, I think he's got ability. You put a Reggie Bush behind him, I think he'll
well,
get it.
That's why
back.
I said I don't think Andre Johnson was a bust, because it's hard to catch a lot of passes when none are coming your way.
No, I didn't say bust. I just said under. I think he's an underachiever right now.
Even worse than Bledsoe for Carr, because he never really, at least Bledsoe had some success, and then he all of a sudden got
right.
punch drunk,
right.
and he lost it. Well, Carr, you know, was a young guy who got beat up right away. He never doesn't really know it any other way. So I think it's far more psychologically
if
far more.
If he can shake that off, he can play.
All right, thanks, Jamie, for calling in from Houston. We like that a little Texas love. You know, I might. You know how I used to have Denver was my team. You know, my second.
What do you mean used
I
to?
I might adopt.
Yeah, used to.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
like
used
Denver.
To.
I might
yeah,
adopt
whatever.
The Texans.
Do you remember when Fred?
That's my second.
Like when we were flying
team.
Home from the playoff game, how happy Fred was last year. You know, the Broncos. You know, if anybody had to beat him, it was the
I
Broncos.
Wasn't there.
You're a liar.
What are you talking about?
All I know is you don't have a Texans jersey, and you have multiple Broncos, right?
John Elway, Carl Mecklenburg, neither of who
Carl
play
Mecklenburg.
On the team anymore.
Carl Mecklenburg was at midfield that night with the coin toss, and I'll tell you, looking down.
I didn't even know he was there!
Tom and I looked down, because Fred wasn't sitting with us in the press box, he was in another area. We looked down, and all of a sudden you see, you know, this guy beaming from ear to
right.
ear with a smile, and he's pointing to the guy next to him, he's like pointing out on the stadium.
He didn't even know he was on the
field. He's tapping Ray Sullivan on the shoulder. And saying, that's Carl Mecklenburg, Ray.
I think I heard
he's
him.
One of the
I think I heard him say Teddy Bruschi can't carry his job.
Yeah, I think I heard that too. I
wow,
I heard
he
that
just
too.
Nodded in approval for that comment.
It's a lawyer, you know. All right, let's get to some more emails. Neil from North Branch, Michigan. Well, we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place, and I'm not happy about it. Just how can a position of such strength preseason last year turn into the unholy mess we now find ourselves in at the wide receiver position? We have a number one, no number two, no number three, maybe an aging number four, assuming Troy Brown returns, and at best, a number five with Bethel Johnson, who, let's admit, is now a bust. Wide receiver is the most... What?
You can't distract him. He's too easy. Don't do stuff in the background.
Sorry.
Well, Paul's taking credit for calling...
The argument we had.
I
he's
know.
Clearly a bust.
Before his first regular season
he's
game.
Not even what I expected him to be, so he's a bust.
All right. Wide receiver is the most desperate need on this team.
That's
what are
why
you
I
expecting
don't think he
from Bethel
play.
Forget aging linebackers and injured safeties. Our offense is in dire straits. We have it best a major question mark over the running game, and who the hell are we going to throw the ball to next season? Branch and Watson aside, we have no every-down guy to throw it to. Now the next issue, there are no wide receivers in free agency that can really fulfill the number two role. Maybe Keyshawn Johnson can be a number three, but he's 34 years old, for heaven's sake. Maybe Quincy Morgan, maybe Tony Carter could be a target, but the paucity of talent at the position is worrying.
Quincy Morgan, the wide receiver.
Carolina.
What?
Tony
Quincy
Carter?
Morgan, the wide receiver.
Tony Carter, he was good.
He was a fullback. The one.
No. I'm thinking of the guy that played.
There's a wide receiver for Carolina named Tony Carter.
No.
And is he good?
He played for. What the hell? Was he with not Minnesota? Was he with Miami for a short stint?
Are you thinking about Andy?
Thinking about Chris Carter?
No, not
Tony
Carter.
Tony Carter, if it's the guy I'm thinking of, or even if it's not, has never done anything in the NFL because no one knows.
Somebody would know his name.
Yeah.
Tony something. He was a.
That I'll give you.
Tony Orlando.
He's a long ball threat. No, I remember. I can't think of it now. Anyway.
Anthony Simmons?
No.
Tony Orlando.
Are no outstanding prospects in the draft. Certainly not.
Anthony Simmons!
Not first round material where we pick. The best we can hope for is to pick up a Maurice Stovall type in the second round and hope he can make the third wide receiver position on his own. Please, please tell me T.O. is a non-possibility here. As talented as he is with Willie gone and him arriving, it would kill our locker room overnight.
Who was that? Willie was such a strong.
Neil.
Strong.
He's not done yet. The Patriots front office has a free pass because of past achievements, but if this season proves to be a big downer, questions should be asked. The Miami Dolphins are emerging as a major player in our division, and frankly, if Culpepper is healthy, I am assuming they will be favorites to take the AFC East crown. Just how can you allow a position to develop to this situation is frankly incompetent.
I agree. That's well said.
You know what? I'm surprised we haven't gotten more emails regarding Culpepper. That's the first one, yeah. Really, because I mean, I think that even with the
I've only read two emails so far. So yeah.
Oh, I thought you read more than
you guys had to argue about Sopranos for a half hour.
I thought you read more than a couple
like the
emails.
Third email I've read, you know,
haven't even given out the email address yet.
I mean, I thought we've had at least four or five emails and a phone call, and that's the first we've heard of Culpepper. And I think that as bad as you think or as good as you think the Patriots' offseason was, I think before Culpepper, you'd still have to say the Patriots were overwhelming favorites to win the division.
Right.
Now I'm not so sure.
Well, I don't know about overwhelming.
The whole approach to free agency is disappointing. On top of that, we are going in all probability, lose Adam, Willie, and some valuable backups without even trying to keep them, it seems. My question to you is why? Give me some inside scoop on what the hell is going on. I need some reassurance here. We cannot possibly hope to replace what we have lost via the draft. And frankly, most of the free agents we all hope they would look at have already gone. I don't want to sign people for the sake of it, but I am very worried about next season right now.
Well, I think you should be. I mean, Paul just said the Dolphins stink. I got to disagree.
No, not now. Oh. I'm saying before they
but I don't think they stunk before
Culpepper. They're a team that's improving with a good head coach, and they're going to continue to get better. Now, if the Patriots stand pat, they're going to get passed. It's that simple.
Yeah. No, I think things change. The reason I was asking about the emails about the Dolphins is because I think the landscape changed dramatically in the last 24 hours. If he can play,
that's a big if.
It is. And look, Chris Mortensen reported that he's going to be ready at the start of the season. I'm virtually going to guarantee that if his injury is accurate as reported, there's no way he's playing at the start of the season, and it'd be closer to the midseason. And with the Patriots,
but even if he does play, part of his game is mobility.
Yeah, I don't really worry about that. He's a quarterback. He's not. I mean,
it is, but it's not Michael Vick.
It's not Michael Vick.
No.
Runs when
he can.
That's why I wouldn't rush him back. Because if he can't move, then he gets hurt more.
2 years ago, he completed 70% of his passes and had 39 touchdowns to 11 interceptions. Running is a part of his game, but it's not a very big part. And I think
they have some receivers.
If he can play, yeah, they have Chambers. You know, who is always. I think always been one of those guys that you're waiting to break out. Well, in the second half of last year, he broke out.
Yeah, and it's hard to break out when you don't have a quarterback throwing to you. And he's done. I mean, you know, he's had Fiedler.
They got some moves to make on defense, though.
Right.
They're going to have to replace Madison and Howard at corner. And I know
there he is.
I know they have Travis Daniels, who was a good young guy that they liked last year. But now there's going to be an awful lot asked of him without Madison on the other side. And That's why I say before they got Culpepper, I still wasn't overly impressed with Miami. Surprised some teams last year, but...
Henry's from San Antonio, Texas. I'm not upset that the Patriots haven't signed anyone yet. I trust that Bill and Scott know what they're doing. We Patriots fans need to be patient. Pats will make a splash soon. What are your thoughts that Eric Moles could come to New England, and what's the latest on our kicker Adam? Is he staying or going? So
Eric Moles, until he gets released, is kind of hard to speculate as to whether he's coming to New England. I mean, he's still part of Buffalo.
And Adam Vinatieri is in Green Bay.
I would assume that, that Moles is going to get released, but I agree with an item that we read recently in Pro Football Talk. Buffalo's probably going to wait as long as they can to release him, just to stick it to him. Because they're obviously under the cap. They don't need to let him go. Now, if a free agent comes up and that they want to sign or something, that might be the impetus to get rid of him. But they're going to try to stick it to Eric Moles here and make him wait as long as possible, because the longer it takes him to get on the open market, obviously the less money is going to be available for him.
Plus, everybody who makes decisions in that organization is like 85, and they move kind of
slow. Yeah. It's just like the Patriots tried to stick it to Lawyer Malloy. I mean, I think it's a common thing for a team when they're disgruntled with a guy. They want a guy to take less money, and they don't do it, and you see this happen a lot.
I don't think the Patriots tried to stick it to Lawyer Malloy. I think they thought he was going to break, and they were going to have Lawyer Malloy on their
team.
And
they figured that but the longer they waited, the less options he would have. Backfired.
Right, but I don't think they were trying to. They wanted him on their team.
Backfired?
Right.
I'm not sure they want him on their team.
Here's what Fred points to: the fact that they won the Super Bowl. That means that they didn't let a guy go and they didn't miscalculate the market. Everything that they did was right because the Patriots won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we finally have tampering. You've been looking for it all show.
Oh, boy. You call that backfiring?
What did Andy just say?
What?
Bill Belichick admits
did they want Lawyer Malloy on the team?
Oh, now we're calling Bill Belichick a liar. I'm all for it. Okay, go ahead, Fred.
Every other time they do, it's okay.
Don't call him a liar.
But this is where the ends justify the means, right, Fred. As long as you win the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter that you did it without doing what you wanted
to do. Right.
Okay? No, I think I said that.
So you wanted Lawyer Malloy as part of your team. He wasn't part of the team, but it didn't backfire.
He wanted, Paul. It's again
He wanted Lawyer Malloy on his team, and he thought by waiting as long as he could that he would be able to keep him.
But he obviously
He was wrong. I know it's hard to say, but Bill Belichick was wrong once.
Obviously, he did not want Lawyer Malloy on his team for what the Postons wanted.
Exactly. He thought they were going to break, and
he'd
have Lawyer Malloy.
He thought if he could wait till September, they wouldn't be able to get anything.
But he did not want him on his team.
I'm here to introduce Lawyer today.
He wanted him on the team.
Not for what they were asking for.
But he wanted him on the team.
That's
I'm here to introduce Lawyer today.
But that's not the point, Fred.
Lawyer Malloy is no different than any other player.
I understand that, but he wanted him on the team.
At the right value.
I understand that, but he wanted him on the team. We can say this all day.
I never said that.
Okay.
There is a
he was wrong.
Some guys get cut.
He miscalculated.
He got cut because they didn't want to pay him all the money.
He thought he would be able to get him at his price the longer he waited.
Okay, and
he was wrong.
How was that a miscalculation?
Because he got the price that he wanted somewhere else.
But Patriots were never going to give it to him.
I understand
how is that a miscalculation?
Because he wanted him.
Break. Not at that price, Paul. That's not a miscalculation.
I wasn't here then.
They were willing.
I wasn't here then. I don't know
that he wanted him on the team, but not at that price. But he doesn't admit that it's a mistake that he miscalculated.
They were willing to let him walk at the price that he wanted.
I understand
that's
that.
Not a miscalculation.
That's not what Bill Belichick wanted. He did not want to let him walk because he didn't agree to the price that he wanted. That's not what he wanted. Unless you're just going to call him a blatant liar.
Okay.
And you always say that he doesn't lie.
Kyle from Cranston, Rhode Island says, "Which free agents?"
I'm not in the ticket meeting.
That's when I win. No, he just ignores me.
Paul has a certain set of things he believes when it suits him, but when it doesn't suit him, he doesn't want to
Fred,
believe
if
it.
You don't
on the record, it's in transcript.
Fred, if you don't believe that.
He said that. He wants him on his team. But for any guy, he would want, any guy on the team at the right value.
No, I disagree with you.
Yeah,
I don't think he cared a lick if Damian Woody went somewhere else. Fred, I don't think he cared at all.
Don't even
you
believe
if
your own
David
crap.
David Givens went somewhere
you don't.
Else?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so did he want him on the team?
Yes.
Did he miscalculate?
No, he didn't want to pay that much money.
So why is that okay for...
Because he didn't hold out until September to try to put the screws to him.
They had an offer that they made him a lot earlier than that.
When?
In March.
When? This is
Lawyer Malloy. I'm talking about Lawyer Malloy.
And what did they do?
And Lawyer Malloy didn't take it.
Right. And why didn't they release him then?
Why should they? They wanted to see if he'd come down and what he wanted.
Exactly. They tried to put the screws to him.
Because
they wanted him.
That's calculated, Paul.
Because they wanted him, Fred. That's why they didn't release him. They wanted to see if he would meet their price.
How is that a miscalculation?
Because they thought he would accept it, and he didn't.
They thought he would break.
So?
So they miscalculated
he
it.
He didn't break.
But
you had
break.
To cut him on the eve of the season.
But they were never going to pay him what he wanted.
I understand that, Fred.
Exactly, but they thought
but
he
they
would
thought
break.
He would
and
take
they
what they were
break.
Offering.
Okay, so...
Yes or no, they thought he would take what he was at, what they were asking okay. for. They thought Lawyer would take their price. Yes or no?
They thought they that's the price they want, and they were going to wait until he wanted
they
it.
Said in March, this is what we're offering, and he wouldn't take it.
Okay.
And they said, we'll wait till September when the money dries up, and then he'll take it. That's what that, their that's what their mentality
was. That's a calculated
was.
Risk.
Right, and they miscalculated. Now we can
oh
move
boy.
On.
Oh, my God.
Because he didn't take what they what he thought
it's
they would give him.
A calculated risk, but they miscalculated.
They were wrong.
They were wrong.
And Bill Belichick has admitted it.
I'm just happy to be here.
It's not the same situation. It's not the same situation. They didn't have any rights over David Givens.
I'll
he was a free
Super
agent.
Bowl. Thank you. Kyle,
and we're back to square one where the ends justify the means. And the Patriots are the only team that you can sign with if you're really truly interested in winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, boy. Kyle from Cranston. Well, it's true with
the Prince of Pomposity, the New England Patriots.
Kyle from Cranston, Rhode Island. Which free agents do you think that remain could interest the Patriots? And he talks about that. And he's worried. He says, listening to the talk radio about this has been a hoot. The Pats are losing the best players. We need more receivers. The best free agents are gone. What do you think of that caller?
Hey, how are you?
I know a lot of fans are getting antsy, including Paul, but I think people
and
should
Fred.
Wait
I'm not getting
and see
antsy.
What happens in the next few weeks before grabbing their pitchforks and torches and heading for Gillette. For we all know they may be working on a deal for Tom's boy LeVar or something, right? Boring as this is, I'll take long-term fiscal responsibility and success over the annual Redskins fire sale free agent buyup. As far as the Patriots' losses, I'm not too broken up. While good, Givens is not worth $7 million signing bonus. Chatham and Fourier were peripheral players, can be replaced. Pats fans need a sense of perspective here. We're not losing any really good players except Vinatieri, who we haven't lost yet. Anyway, that wraps up Kool-Aid Corner. Keep up the show and keep up the good work.
So you lost in the playoffs with the
not really good players.
You're going to replace them with probably lesser players. You're going in the wrong direction.
Mike, from
I'm not panicking, by the way. I've seen this act the last several years with the Patriots. I know they don't jump.
I'm panicking.
They don't jump headfirst into free agency the first couple
of days.
They never do.
Lucky to win double digits, and I say lucky.
I agree.
Oh,
first
okay.
of all, you got to wait to see what they end up with a roster.
Lucky.
Make your comment in training camp when they have.
Hey, I'll wait and tell you they'll be lucky to win 10 games then.
All right. Mike from Florida, according to his interview in a Boston Rag, this is Willie Mack, he said he was never contacted about redoing his deal.
That was ESPN.com.
So the Pats don't want him back at any price? He appears to have at least another productive year in him. Why would they not even offer him a cheap contract? We want you, Willie, but can only give you this. I think the Pats don't treat their players as good as they could, should, and I don't mean just money.
That's because Fred thinks Willie should have called.
Right.
Maybe what they were willing to give him was so low they didn't want to even say
it. How do you know if you don't ask?
I don't know.
Make a bid.
It's poor business.
I agree.
Well, you know.
That seems
that's
to be,
how they do business, and it works.
I'll tell you what, though, you start treating your players
EB.
Badly, and it gets around the league. Just ask the Eagles; they can't even get anyone to visit
them. And the Patriots are the only team that have veterans that leave.
I didn't say that.
Come on, this is business in the NFL.
Are you equating veterans leaving with perceived poor treatment? Do you think those two things are the same thing? I don't think that anybody would say David Givens was treated poorly by the Patriots. No.
Well, I don't know.
But he left in free agency.
But, I mean, he
was offered a very fair deal, and it took a bigger one.
Sam Adams left Buffalo and had nothing but bad things to say about
that. And I think he was poorly treated in Buffalo.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Every guy thinks he's poorly treated.
No,
when
I don't.
He doesn't get a contract.
I disagree with you.
Brett Smurlis hated the Patriots when Parcells was here because Parcells wouldn't pay him.
But I disagree with you that every player thinks like that. I think there are two different ways to do it. I think the way they did it with David Givens is the way you do it.
Well,
you talk to the guy, and then you realize, you know what, David, you're probably better off taking that deal because that's more than we're willing to
give. People are running for the door.
Right.
Well, you know,
according to Brad Blank, and I didn't hear this myself, somebody told me this, but he said in an interview that Scott Pioli actually projected to him that he would get a 24
and exceeded what Brad thought.
Oh, I don't. You really think so?
I don't think.
They had a conversation.
I don't think
it'll
get that high.
Call Willie McGinnis and say, you know what, our top end number is $1 million. If go out, see what you can get. If you can't get it, come talk to us.
Okay, so why did they treat David Givens right and not Willie McGinnis?
But
they don't want Willie McGinnis.
Can't
I don't
you,
know.
Can't you at least
well,
admit?
But you know, so Either they bring their players right or they don't.
Because they feel like Willie has nothing to offer to them? I don't know.
Fred,
kick
it to the curb.
Can you
at least
admit that? We've got all we can out of body number 55.
Is Richard Seymour happy?
If they really do feel that way.
Can you at least admit that it's odd that they hadn't talked to Willie McGinnis?
I do.
If they hadn't talked to Willie, if they haven't talked to Willie, can you at least admit that that's odd?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's fine, as long as you admit
that.
But here's what I would think would be even odder. If before he left, they didn't have some type of range that this is what we'll give you if you want to come. And that was understood even before he left.
But don't you think that there's a chance that when you do it this way, that it irritates the other player, and now McGinnis maybe gets an offer that maybe he wouldn't even have ever received, and now he says, you know what, I'm not calling them back.
Absolutely.
They didn't even call me.
Absolutely. But
I don't think that'll happen. I think McGinnis and the Patriots will talk again at some point.
Here's my point. I think there's guys on every team that don't get the offers that they want, that are bitter toward their team or feel they're mistreated.
I agree with that.
Secondly, if what Andy's saying is true, and really, they got no more use for Willie McGinnis, okay? If that's what they're thinking, then I think they're doing it the best way they can do it, by not saying a thing.
I don't.
What, they're going to lie?
No, you just make a call and say, you know what, we've kind of decided to move on.
Yeah,
it's a phone call.
I think it's easy to do.
The guy was drafted 12 years. Have Mr. Kraft call. If you don't want Scott Pioli to call, have Mr. Kraft just say, you know what? We cannot thank you enough for what you've done.
Why do you really think
that hard? It takes 2 minutes.
Wait, hold on for a second. What if Willie McGinnis goes out there and doesn't get the deal? You know, or you know, every deal that gets offered, the management council sees. You see it, and it has to be approved by the NFL.
Right.
So the Patriots will see the offers that are given to Willie McGinnis. What if?
If they see it, it'll be signed by that time. They'll
sending
it to the league for approval.
Yeah.
Basically, I don't think that's accurate. Unless there's a World Ends Tomorrow clause in it, it's a done deal. He has signed it.
What if Willie McGinnis doesn't even get an offer from another team? And why would you burn that bridge now by saying, Willie, we're not going to sign yet?
I think you're burning the bridge by not calling him and saying we might be interested.
My conversation would have been, keep us in the loop. We'll keep you in the loop.
How do you know that wasn't said before he left?
I can just go by what the player said.
He said
it wasn't.
He hadn't talked, that he understood it was a business.
He's left.
No, you're absolutely right.
I transcribed Brian Lowe's interview with Willie McGinnis. He said he hadn't spoken. He was understanding of that because the new CBA hadn't gotten done. He understood that nobody could do anything until the new rules were put into place. He assumed that. He knew he was going to get cut, and then he assumed we'll talk. When
and
it comes
right,
to
Fred,
that,
I don't know.
They haven't talked since.
I don't know if they
angry.
Haven't had that conversation, but Willie said he hasn't.
I mean, he knew he was going to get cut. He said
that
a long time
ago.
So, I mean.
And since then, he has not spoken to them about anything.
It's a personal interaction that he hasn't had, that he thought he'd get, that he thought maybe he'd earned by a decade plus of service and second all time in sacks or whatever. And he's gotten nothing.
I think
he's a little ticked off.
You transcribed it. He also said that, hey, I understand this.
Yes, understand what?
He understood that he was going to get cut,
and he assumed they would deal with it when the new rules were in place.
I have no bitterness to the organization.
Yes. That was before they ever called. He's the girl that didn't get called back the next day, and she ain't happy.
That was in the interview with Pascarelli.
He said he understood why he got cut.
Right.
And he has no bitterness toward the Patriots, the Crafts, whatever.
He's a smart guy.
But he also openly wondered why he hadn't received a call.
He didn't say he was mad about it.
Well, you take it the one way. I took it another way.
Yeah,
he was so not displeased with that he went out on a free agent tour.
I mean, you agree that
started
they,
in
they
Cleveland
did the
yesterday.
Right thing with David Givens.
Well, I just think they were up front with the guy. It's two different things.
It is two different things.
Right.
And we don't know what the situation is.
But I think they were up front with Givens, and they said, this is what we're willing to pay.
I think if anything, they should have been better than McGinnis for his years of service. I was never going to see the last year of this
exactly.
contract.
And when the new rules are in place...
Fred, no one's arguing that. McGinnis isn't arguing that. We're not arguing that. No way he was going to see that year. Just like Troy Brown last year. Nobody's arguing that he should have gotten that.
Funny, what does Troy Brown and Will McGinnis have in common?
They were both treated like garbage despite double-digit years of service.
And expressed it.
Oh, boy.
Fred, we've gotten asked, PFW's asking about this. There is a question about how Scott Pioli, Bill Belichick, the Patriots in general, how good they are at that personal phone call, doing the right thing, PR-type spin. And there's some questions there. I mean, a guy plays here 12 years. You can't just call and say whatever. I don't care what you say. Just call. Just call.
And maybe there's something simple, as simple as the Patriots just don't want him back.
But even
maybe
that,
it's
call
as
and say
as
it.
That could be.
It might be as simple as that. I don't know.
But
But do you really want to push him out the door or say we don't want you back in a nice kind of
understanding way?
There's a lot of reasons why they haven't called.
Right. And you know, what you're saying is, yeah, they don't want him back. But I can't imagine if Willie McGinnis said, hey, I'll play for $1 million, they wouldn't take him back.
But
I can't imagine
why haven't they
but
called to find out.
You wouldn't offer that to Willie McGinnis because it's an insult.
No, but like I said, you don't necessarily have to make an offer. You say if you feel like you want to go out there and look around, then look around. Come back to us. Give us, you know, a right of first refusal, for lack of a better term.
Right,
even though they're not contractually obligated to that, but give us a chance to match whatever you get. If you're not interested in going out there and looking around, then let's sit down and talk about it now.
Or we don't want you.
See what it takes. Or you know what? Or we're looking to move in another direction. I would be shocked if they ever had that conversation, because I agree with you. I don't know why you would close the door on that.
Right.
When 3 months from now you might be saying, you know what, we really need a Willie McGinnis type.
Right, but
so that's why I would doubt
that
they
would
close the
door.
But
as you said, you know, give us a chance to match, see what you can get, because we have.
I'm very,
you know, we're not the Cleveland Browns. We don't have $40 million.
I'm very surprised they didn't talk to Willie McGinnis. They didn't talk to Brown last year. Troy admitted it in his press conference. He was very upset about it. Very upset about it, and it took his family to basically talk him back into re-signing here. And I happen to think that if it was virtually any other team that gave him the offer that New Orleans gave him, he would have taken it.
That's the difference. Willie has 3-4 teams he's visiting. There might be offers there that are decent.
No one really wanted Troy.
So if he wants to say, screw you guys, he has more options to say it.
Look, this is a brutal business.
It is.
Agreed?
It is, okay. Yes.
So if
and I don't think the Patriots are the only team that operates that way. I agree with you on that.
Let me finish my thought here. This is a brutal business. If the Patriots had told Willie McGinnis, give us the right of first refusal, okay, his agent's going to tell these other teams, by the way, the Patriots, we're going to give them a right to match this thing. Knowing that, that's going to help Willie McGinnis get more money. If the Patriots really want to have a chance to get him back at some point, why would you give him that ammunition to get a bigger deal somewhere else? It's a brutal business.
So instead, we'll just tick him off.
Wouldn't that be better for them?
I don't know. I mean, maybe
if someone overpays for him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If Green Bay knows that we're going to have to give him this monster deal, they're just going to do it. Now the Patriots are out of the running. You know, it's brutal. It's brutal.
It is, but it also involves humans, human beings who have feelings.
There's
also perception.
But don't you have to?
That's
the part of it
work
that I don't
agree
with. If we're talking about Hot Wheels cars, it wouldn't be brutal.
Don't you have to work that angle? Don't you have to know a guy, know how he feels?
Come on, Hot Wheels cars.
There's also perception, Fred. Willie McGinnis has been here 12 years, and fans aren't happy. That's a problem.
And that happens in a lot of teams.
I know.
It happens. That's why this is brutal.
And that's why I say I don't necessarily think the Patriots are the only team.
You want your team to be the best at the brutal business or the sappiest?
I don't know. Well, right now, what are the Patriots?
Right. They're in the middle. They're not the best. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Three out of five.
It's certainly not the best.
Next year, maybe it'll be 3 out of 6.
3 out of 6.
3 out of 30. We're the Oakland Raiders. We were good a couple decades ago.
Mac in Somerville. You guys are going to freak out on this one.
All right.
Okay.
Should I go to the bathroom?
I don't know. We only have 15 minutes left.
Okay, I'll hold it.
I gotta give a shout out to Adam Schatz of FootballOutsiders.com, who kind of got me rethinking the Adam Vinatieri situation.
Oh, personally,
for the record, I'd love for Vinatieri to.
There's no smear campaign out there, though. You're right, Fred.
But how much would the Patriots actually lose if he signed elsewhere? Check out how Schatz breaks it down.
There we go.
Let him have him say.
Go ahead.
Quote: last year during the regular season, Vinatieri kicked 2 game-winning field goals, both in the final 20 seconds of a tied game. A 43-yard field goal to beat Pittsburgh in Week 3, and a 29-yard field goal to beat Atlanta in Week 5. An average kicker will hit a 29-yarder 90% of the time and a 43-yarder 70% of the time. But a missed kick doesn't lead to a loss in these cases. It leads to overtime where the Patriots still have a 50-50 shot at a win.
Really?
So with an average kicker, the Patriots beat Atlanta 95% of the time and beat Pittsburgh 85% of the time. They still win both games 81% of the time. Is 1/5 of a win worth paying Vinatieri $3 million instead of paying a league average kicker $1 million and spending the rest of the money on a veteran wide receiver or a veteran backup for defensive tackle Vince Wilfork?
1/5 of a win over a season is 3 wins,
correct?
16 games divided by 5, that's 3 wins a year?
Good. Let me ask Paul a question.
All I know is if you had Mike Vanderjack as your kicker, you would have been in overtime in one of those games, and you may have won the other game, and then that would have taken your odds down to, instead of 85%, it would have been a flat 50% because now you're in overtime in the Pittsburgh game, because there's no way you make a 43-yard field goal if you're Mike Vanderjack with the game on the line. Matter of fact, what was that study that they did in Indianapolis?
I just don't want my
physics of that game would have been no good from like 27 yards.
Yeah,
it was that far wide right.
Right.
Let me ask you something, Paul. when Gary Anderson lined up against Atlanta for the Vikings, how many field goals did he miss that year?
He had missed none.
None.
Tom.
And he missed the field goal, and they didn't go to the Super Bowl.
That was thick.
That's the difference. Vinatieri makes the big kicks. I don't give a crap about a 27-yarder in week four. He doesn't miss under pressure.
Adam doesn't miss kicks that, quote-unquote, should be made.
Right.
He makes everything from 45 in as well or better than any kicker in football.
We've never said the kicker lost the game for us.
Do you know? You have to go all the way back to 1999 since you can make that statement. That's how long
Buffalo,
ago.
When he missed
in
like four.
Buffalo yeah. in Kansas City.
Yeah. You know, right.
He missed game-winning kicks that year.
But even in Kansas City, that game, they were out. They were lucky to be in the position they were at the end there. But you're right.
It was a 32-yard field goal when they were down 2 points.
But Tom Brady makes that.
All I can tell you is if Tom Brady was the starting quarterback that day, they wouldn't have lost that game. Well, that's all I can say.
All I can tell you is this is another example.
He would have made
numbers,
that kick.
If fans use numbers when they want
I'll tell you
for
why.
Certain
you
reasons,
get another
and
kicker
not for
in here,
reasons.
And he misses that first big kick, then you read back all those numbers out of footballoutsiders.com.
And what I'll say, too, is, and again, you're going to throw this back at me, and you're probably right to do so. I'll take this Bill Belichick quote as backing my story where, you know, sometimes I always make fun of some of the things he says. I don't know how many times he said, when we're lining up to kick field goals at the end of games, we don't worry about it, and that's a good situation to be in with us.
Peace of mind.
It's peace of mind.
It's true.
That affects the whole team. Like Tom just said, if you bring in Vanderjagt or whoever else is, Orlando Mare, or whoever else happens to be on the open market, and he's a good kicker, but he misses that first 29-yarder with the you know with a chance to get to overtime.
Never
or
have the peace of
okay,
mind.
Now the next time the offense is sitting there saying we got to get it in the end zone.
Well, I was going to say
maybe Brady takes a chance that he wouldn't normally take.
But not even the end zone. How about the fact that Bill has said a number of times that Adam gives him a number before the game.
Right,
46 yards. How about the fact when you're Tom Brady, Deion Branch, and Ben Watson at the end of the game, you know literally if you get to a certain yard, you don't have to stretch it to get an extra five.
I mean,
you get to that and you're going to win the game.
Look at the Super Bowl in Carolina when. They made one play, basically, in that drive. They got the kickoff to the 40, and they kind of got stopped a little bit, and it was like, oh, God, you know, are they going to get in range here? And he made one play to Branch, I think it was, on the sideline.
Yeah,
it might have been Troy. It might have been Troy over the middle, but it was
Troy, but
okay, I can't remember which one it was. But they made one big play, and that got him inside that number. And then they basically just ran the clock out.
Because the game's over.
The game's over.
He's money
from
that number.
Match. And he had missed two field goals in that game.
But you know.
But it was still game, set, match.
All I'm going to say is if you think those numbers are correct, call Tony Dungy and Bill Parcells and the fans of the Cowboys and Colts and ask him how important Adam Vinatieri is.
I didn't mind seeing Chatham sign with the Jets. At best, he was a serviceable special teamer, but for as many good plays he made, they were equal to dumbass penalties.
He did
and
have a lot of
and
penalties.
And I couldn't envision him developing the skill to be in the regular rotation as linebacker for the Pats.
Neither could Bill Belichick.
Based on what, though?
Lastly, a big thank you goes out to Fourier and Gibbons for all their solid play over the past several seasons. Their presence will be missed. That's for Mac and Summer.
I mean, I have no empirical evidence on Matt Chatham that he could have had a bigger role, but why are we basing it? What are we basing it on that he couldn't have?
I don't know.
I mean, he was. I mean
if he could have, he would have done it by now.
See, I disagree. I think they happen to have the best core of linebackers in football the last 4 years.
Well, we'll know now because he's going to have a shot to start with the Jets.
Agree with that? Do you not think that Ted Johnson, Teddy Bruschi, Willie McGinnis, Roosevelt Colvin, and Mike Vrabel?
Easy on the McGinnis. Yeah. He's out, so he's bad now.
I mean, Colvin's done better, but over the last couple of years, you couldn't say that.
That year he had that broken hip. He stunk.
I'm just telling you, he couldn't play.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm just telling you the national experts would disagree with you. They've called the Patriots linebacker core the best in football for the last 3 years.
James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. I have two quick questions to ask. One,
that's why we needed him. I was very disappointed when he was late getting
here. With the failure to resign some of the longtime players, do you think the team might be looking to get younger through free agency and the draft, or are they just taking their time to wait and see who comes available and who might be willing to re-sign with the team for less money? You have to think the team might want to get younger in order to help avoid the injury problems they have suffered the last few years. And two, what positions do you think the team may focus on the top two rounds of the draft? Right now, there seems to be too many holes to fill for me to hazard a guess where they might go.
Well, me and Paul can tell you what kind of players will sign for less money. Chad Brown. We were just talking about it upstairs before we came
veterans.
Down.
Veterans that have done a lot in their career. They've made a lot of money in their career, but they haven't won. So they're looking to go to a good team, a good organization, and they can accept less because they've already made the money.
Or guys who have serious questions for some reason or another. You're talking about those mid-round pick type guys, but they're in the league because they have – you don't get a good – developing a David Givens, a young developing wide receiver,
say,
whatever.
I want to go here for $10 million less.
See, right. I think we focus so much on the money here. Like, this is the only way you can win is by getting guys to play for less money. But I think the biggest reason the Patriots have had the success that they've had is they've gotten incredible contributions out of their draft classes and their young players. And, you know, and guys like Copen, Eugene Wilson, Asante Samuel, these guys have been major parts. Richard Seymour, Matt Light, I mean, you look back at all the Super Bowls, they've had young guys playing on rookie contracts making major contributions. Mm-hmm. Now, in 2001, you know, with Seymour and Light, obviously great, you know, solid contributions right off the go. 2003, the list was endless. So, you know, it was Copen and Samuel and Wilson and, you know, even Bethel Johnson was a great kick returner that year. You know, Tully Bantakane on special teams. You have all of these guys on rookie contracts contributing. Without that, now, they didn't get as much last year out of their draft class. They got Logan Mankins, who was a solid starter, and Ellis Hobbs gave him a good half a year, but they didn't really get a tremendous other amount of contributions last year. Yeah, Kazir was solid, too. If you continue to do that, it's hard. It's hard to keep drafting like that. It's hard to get a fourth-round pick that you know is good. Yeah. It's hard to get a fifth-round pick that can start at center. That's not easy.
No, I mean, it's been proven. There was a time when draft. But now it's been proven you got to mix free agency with draft in order to be competitive.
But is that an interesting point he brings up? Are they trying to get younger? They have 9 picks already. Are they going to have a couple more?
I think they are.
We don't want to say that word rebuilding because, my God, they're 1 year away from a Super Bowl. But in their minds, could they be thinking that way?
And you do. You have to wonder about that. I mean, the linebackers that we talked about are all in the 30s now, except for Colvin.
At some point, you got to bite the bullet
a little bit. The question, we've always said, like, you know, you look back at the Celtics, did they wait too long?
And what's
are
the old adage
now? But in 2 years, you say, well, they got younger. They bit the bullet earlier than we thought they were.
What's the old adage in sports? A lot of general managers will tell you it's always better to get rid of a player 1 year too early than one year too late.
Yeah.
And maybe McGinnis, you know, McGinnis is coming off a year that he started all 16 games and played what I thought was at a level that I didn't think he was capable of playing anymore, every down. I didn't think he could be an every down guy and hold up the way he did. Maybe he could still do that this year, but maybe he's going to have a Corey Dillon-like year this year too. But I think the Patriots, maybe if they're not interested, like Fred, you know, was speculating, maybe they just want to cut ties and move in a different direction. Maybe they're looking at it and say, yeah, he might have one more good year. But it might be better off for us to say goodbye now
and use that
and
money.
figure out who's going to replace him. Maybe Bobby Carpenter will come in and sit behind Colvin and Vrabel for a year and then maybe be able to, you know, by midseason, be able to be a quality player. I mean, it's hard for a rookie to just come in, especially on that defense.
Right. Well, if you look what the Cowboys did in the 90s, they kept trying to squeeze out one more Super Bowl, making that stupid Joey Galway trade for 2 first-round picks, saying we're one explosive receiver away.
Right.
And they kept trying to stretch it out to get one more. And maybe the Patriots are trying to rebuild this thing now and make another run at things.
Especially in light of the Dallas. Dallas is
so
success.
If they don't make the playoffs this year, will you guys be okay with that? And if they, you know, bring in some,
you don't make the playoffs often with single digits and wins.
Well, here's the thing. I need to see how it unfolds.
Right.
Like if they didn't make the playoffs last year, I don't think I would have been up in arms about it. You know, based on all the misfortune that they had during the course of the year, I think they did very well to go 10-6.
Dan says the thing
about Dallas that Tom brought
still
up.
Talking.
That was colossally stupid because their whole success was built and predicated on the draft and young players. And then when Jimmy Johnson left, they stopped drafting well, and they go for quick fixes, which was total departure.
It's hard
from what they had
to pack it in a little bit and pull back and say, you know what?
It is hard. Yeah. It's tough. Fans.
But if you look at the Steelers. They're given credit for being very consistent franchise over Cowher. They drafted Ben Roethlisberger 11. They draft Troy Polamalu 16.
I think.
I mean, they've had some years that have been down, so they got high picks, and they've restocked. So you got to have
a little good picks.
Those are key guys on that team, right?
You
had a chance to.
Right. Let's see. Dan says, I want to correct Paul. Bledsoe and Malloy were not let go during the same season. Bledsoe was traded prior to 2002.
And Malloy
was let go prior
to 2003.
That is correct.
So
the first game.
I won that argument.
First of all, your argument was that Bledsoe never. Your argument was Bledsoe never played in that uniform when he played two full seasons in the uniform we have now. But that's right, because
right.
Malloy's.
Okay, let's move on.
Malloy's first game with Buffalo was that big game that
Kim
Buffalo
Carter
blew
with
us
the
up.
Giants. Anyone know him?
Oh, yeah, with the Giants. Okay.
Is he a long ball threat?
Yeah, but he's hurt all the time.
Yeah.
All the
Bethel
time.
Bethel Johnson's a long ball threat.
That's what he is. He's Bethel Johnson.
Right, right.
He's the exact same player.
That's what I'm looking to get.
Before he was on the Giants, who was he with?
Auburn.
Then I'm not we played
Pensacola High School.
The Patriots played a guy named Carter who was a receiver who was, well, that year was putting up big numbers.
Chris.
No, it wasn't Chris Carter. I mean, it was a
what year? This year?
And he was a bad guy. He had like a bad past.
I'm going to stick with Chris.
No, who am I thinking
what
of?
Year? Give me a year.
It's like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I thought his name was Tony Carter.
Who's his agent? Ben Dofa?
All right, anyway.
Ben Dofa?
Let's see.
What was your point with the Carter guy anyway?
No, it was Tim Carter. That's why we couldn't figure out who it was.
But I don't even know if that's who I'm thinking of.
I know who they're talking about now.
You're talking about a guy from 6 years ago now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have no idea who Fred.
I thought this
about.
Was a guy in free agency the Patriots should target.
No, that's Tim Carter.
This guy played for San Diego. Wide receiver.
Carter?
Yeah.
Conway? Curtis Conway?
Oh, not Curtis Conway. I'll have to look it up. All right.
I'm going with your role.
Gary can't because what are you doing, Gary? let's see. A lot of people on fan boards are so excited if Lendale
White
to
figure you out.
Would fall to 21. My question is why. He played on a very good team in college and was used in very specific situations. What?
Well, I was getting ready to rip
Andy
Lendale
hates
White.
Lendale White.
We have no knowledge of whether or not he can be an every down back. He does indeed have impressive size, but that could work against him as well. He could be Ron Dane for all we know. At the combine, he looked like an offensive lineman who was soft around the middle. Until he runs at his pro day, I'm not ready to get on that bandwagon.
Good email.
Yeah.
Who was that? Let's see. Who is this? It doesn't say Mike.
Andy's
Mike
great.
Gerken. Maybe?
Anybody that agrees with Andy, good email.
Right. My second point is this. With the free agency as panned out so far, realistically, all but Reggie Bush could be there at 21. My opinion, Lendale White, D'Angelo Williams, Lawrence Maroney, and Joseph Addai all fit into the same tier for running backs.
They don't.
I disagree with that.
The Colts at the end of the first and the Jets at the beginning of the second would be the next two teams to take a running back. If we assume that Belichick uses a value system for the draft, it would not be good values to take one of those running backs at 21 when all four are still on the board. Trading down or making some other position at 21 and then waiting until the last of the four are left and then trading up in the second would make for a much better value for a running back.
Are you going to cut ties now, Andy, after that?
I wasn't listening.
Basically, he's saying if all four, I mean, after Reggie Bush, he's saying all four running backs available at 21, it would be a bad value pick to pick one of them because all four are available.
Reggie Bush?
No, Reggie Bush is gone, and then you have D'Angelo Williams, Lawrence Maroney, Lendale White, or Joseph Addai. All four of those are available at 21. He's saying it'll be a bad value pick. Patriots value one of those running backs as being in that area, why would it be a bad value pick?
It wouldn't be.
And,
is
that
the same emailer?
Yeah.
Just in the second round, the guy I've been saying for the last couple of weeks here, Jarius Norwood from Mississippi State. Saw the video. He agrees with me. He's a pure running back. We don't think Joseph Addai is a pure running back. We think he's a guy who can do different things.
He pass.
Yeah, but we're not sold on Addai, and either was LSU because he wasn't their primary ball carrier.
Good.
Paul Brown and Woody Bear Bryant have.
Yeah,
we're breaking film.
Woody Bear Bryant.
You'll know too. By the way, Fred, I'm back to 1990, and no one with the last name Carter has caught a pass for the Chargers.
I know he was a receiver for the Chargers. He had a bad pass. He got into, but he had a lot of talent.
I can't
remember his name.
Clearly, is not Carter.
Okay, I'll look.
Wasn't Curtis Conway?
No, I know it Curtis Conway, the Bears, and all that. No,
it wasn't. Yeah, wasn't Tony Martin?
He doesn't have a bad. Tony Martin.
Tony Martin. That's it. Tony Martin.
You got the first
name. I get the first name right.
He did play for Miami. And I'm thinking of a Carter, you know, that's why I'm thinking of Conway, Carter.
Tony Martin.
All right, that's going to do it for
this edition of PFW Progress. We'll see you next Wednesday. Don't forget, podcasts, go listen to them.